When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK.
The Shikellamy Braves play on News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Brubaker reaches up, he's got it at the two-yard line! Touchdown, Shikellamy! Oh, what a catch!
The Shikellamy Braves are sponsored by Route 11 Coffee and Cream, Blaze Alexander Ford, Peter's Home Appliance, Hoopies Detailing, Martz's Gap View Hunting Preserve, Service Electric Cable Vision, Glick's, Shock Law, Hubs Home Oxygen, Diversified Construction, Aaron's Rentals, Shamokin Dam Health Center, ITG Basement Systems, Purdy Insurance, Central Vision Eye Care, McCreary HVAC, Alexander Family Dealerships, Lackawanna College, Sunbury Motors. And now, Braves football with Kevin Herr and the Chief, Dave Ritchie.
For the first time in Shikellamy football history, and for that matter, the history of the Midwest Mustangs, we are here in Middleburg. Moon over Middleburg, as a matter of fact, we can call it, with a full moon looking out to our right. And finally getting a chance to see some clear skies over the Susquehanna Valley, as we haven't been able to see that over the last couple of days. But here on the turf in Middleburg, it is a very nice night, although a little bit chillier than we expected, or chillier than we experienced, I should say, a week ago. The 1-6 Midwest Mustangs playing host for the first time to the 2-4 Shikellamy Braves. Braves coming off of a big win 1 week ago. And a dominating performance over the Milton Black Panthers, a team that they just got past earlier in the season, 13-0. But the second time around, Chief, the Braves' offense really showed up.
It sure did, Kevin. It was almost one of those situations where they went 180 degrees from what they've been doing in the first five games. Just a terrific outing for Drew Balestrini and a lot of the other guys. But the defense, Kevin, the defense has played well the last two games, and that's been a good key in helping the Braves get their second victory.
Well, Chief, they're going to have a very tough task tonight with a very talented running back in Hunter Wolfley, the senior this year with 1,268 yards on 156 carries. Quickly doing the math, that's 8 yards a carry, 13 touchdowns. Now, that would be a good number at the end of the season, and you would say, wow, averaged 130 yards a game. That's not bad for a 10-game season. He did this in 7 games, Chief.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Kevin. And one of those games, he had almost 500 yards against Mifflinburg. So, not a real big kid. He's, you know, I always thought that he was going to be the bruiser back, that's the lover boy. He's the kid that's pretty nice size. But, you know, he's one of those kids that's just able to find the right seams. And sometimes you don't have to do a lot of open up a lot of big holes for those guys. He's definitely going to be somebody the Braves are going to have to stop tonight. You know, you probably have it there, but he's also the leading receiver for touchdowns. So, you know, as the Midwest offense goes, as Mr. Wolfley goes.
Well, and he's got a very big offensive line in front of him. As a matter of fact, it's an offensive line that reminds you really of a Division III college or even Division II college offensive line. Listen to these numbers. 250, 250, 280, 245, and 275. Hey, the 245 is the lightweight on this offensive line. And then the Braves, of course, taking out their three small guys in their 3-5 that are very quick, but average about 180 pounds. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch tonight. Remember, the Braves in week one had a really tough time with that big offensive line of Central Mountain.
They didn't have the quickness on defense that they have now, Kevin. And, you know, I always like what Coach Kaiser told you, that the kids, that the linebackers are finally fitting into and doing what they've been asked to do, and they understand what to do. And I think that makes a big difference. But I had the exact same thought when I saw how big the offensive line was for Midwest. This is like we're going back, you know, back to playing Central Mountain again, because when you and I walked in, it was like, I told you, it was like walking in behind the old Cowboys offensive line when Central Mountain came off the field in front
Indeed.
Of us. So sometimes just depends on how good those five guys' foot speed are, because between those three down guys may only weigh 180 pounds on average, but they're probably pretty tough kids, and as we've seen in the past, and they've got that quickness.
Well, the offensive line, Chief, the Braves are going to get a little bit more experience back in their offensive side of the ball tonight.
I think Mr. Gessner is back, and he's been out quite a bit. And you know, he's one of those players that was counted upon to be pretty strong. Nate, I'm talking about Nate Gessner. Nate is the 5'10", 200-pound senior that hasn't played for quite a while. They still don't have Jared Oaks back. Jared's got to sit out another game yet. If they had Gessner and Oaks to go along with the kids that have been playing the last two games, I think we'd be very, very strong up front. Not that we're not going to be strong tonight, but I'm just saying those two guys are like I said, we're counted on as being the mainstay, all right, for the Braves offensive line this year.
One of the interesting things tonight is this may not be the last game for the Braves. It's not the last for the Mustangs. They have one more game coming up in a bonus week 9. But if tomorrow's game, and it is tomorrow, between Mifflinburg and Jersey Shore turns out to be a Jersey Shore victory, then the Braves will travel to Mifflinburg next Friday night to wrap up the season in a Week 9 matchup with the Mifflinburg Wildcats. But if Mifflinburg were to win and go on to the finals in the District 4-4A, then that game would be wiped out and likely Shikellamy's season would come to an end tonight. So none of that really is going to be decided tonight whatsoever. It'll be tomorrow night, and that Jersey Shore-Mifflinburg game in the semifinal is tomorrow night. They have moved it to tomorrow night, and that's mainly because they want to get an opportunity to make that field up at Thompson Street Stadium a little more playable after 2 inches or so of rain
impossible.
In the last 24 hours.
It's impossible.
And that's not going to be an easy task. But down the road a little bit from us is our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week, and that's going to be the third time around, or the rubber match, if you will, between Selins Grove and Shamokin, and that is a District 4-4A semifinal. That'll be our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week. Blaze Alexander Ford, where it's worth the drive to Route 45.
Well, Kevin, at least we can't say it's hard to beat somebody three times in a row, because both Selins Grove and Shamokin have one win apiece. So tonight's the one that wins the series. Who'd ever think we'd talk about that we're playing a series? It's the Shamokin Selins Grove football series. And by the way, I was told that the Mustangs are looking Midwest Mustangs are looking to play the Newport Buffaloes next week. So they'll head down to Newport and that'll be a very good game, a good challenge for Midwest also.
Are they going to take the Millersburg Ferry across, or are they going to have to come to 147?
We're on the same side of the river.
Oh, that's
Kevin.
Right. I forgot Newport's on
Newport
the other side
and
of the
Middleburger.
You're right.
Newport's on our side.
You got to remember,
right,
it's been a long time. Last time I was at Newport was probably about 10 years ago, and it was wrestling season, okay? That's how long it's been. When we come back, we'll talk with Coach Jim Kizer of the Shikellamy Braves, get his thoughts on tonight's matchup. Braves football on WKOK and on the WKOK app.
This part of today's game is brought to you by Diversified Construction. Hey, whose turn is it to make the popcorn? When I was a kid, it was always my turn. First, I shook the hot oil pan until the corn popped, and later I used a hot air popper. Now I'm back popping in a hot oil pan because the butter and salt sticks to the popcorn better. Hopefully you're having a good time snacking with family while listening to today's game. Quality family time is what life is all about. We'll be back later in the broadcast to tell you about what we do here at Diversified Construction.
You're invited to the first annual Aaron's Trunk or Treat on October 31st from 1 to 3 p.m. in the parking lot at 1102 North High Street, Selins Grove. It'll provide a fun, safe environment for parents or guardians to bring children in costumes to trick-or-treat and enjoy the fun of the holiday. When you arrive, be sure to sign up at the registration table for some great door prizes and up to $50 off a new agreement. Aaron's is offering 6 months same as cash and free setup and delivery. Visit Aaron's showroom the whole month of October for great clearance sales and new merchandise coming in weekly. Aaron's in Selins Grove, we are easy, beautiful, and affordable. Stop by today.
My 84 Corvette is my shrine. I'm super picky about how it looks, and I don't really trust just anyone to shine it up and clean it the way I want, until I found Hoopy's Detailing. Hoopy's Detailing is in Sunbury, and Mike, the owner, he treated my car as if it was his own. He was so cautious, and I think as much of a perfectionist as I am. It's shiny, spotless. He even took care of some paint correction from a summer storm. Get a full detail. That's wash, wax, and interior or exterior only, or any detailing. Book your spot now for Hoopy's Detailing. Race Street, Sunbury. That's H-O-O-P-I-E. S. Hoopy's Detailing on Facebook, too.
Hello, we're the Sub-6, John and Tracy, owners of Carpet Man in Milton.
For 4 years now, our family has been raising money to help fight breast cancer.
We care so much because we know how hard the battle is. I'm a proud survivor of breast cancer, and that's why we're raising money for the Thyra Humphrey Center for Breast Health at Evangelical Community Hospital.
For each and every flooring sale in October, Carpet Man will make a donation to the hospital.
These are tough times, but Carpet Man is committed to make a difference.
We hope to see you soon here at Carpet Man.
Wow, what a year, huh? Life has changed for everybody, but what if this was a year that really changed your life for the better? It can be, and it begins at Lackawanna College Sunbury Center. We can help you get the education you need for the future you want right here close to home. At Lackawanna, you can choose from a variety of degree programs in fields where your skills will be in demand. An associate degree, or pursue your bachelor's. Lackawanna is the smart place to start. They say hindsight is 20/20. Look back on 2020 as the year you made it happen. This is life-changing. This is Lackawanna College.
Mark and Troy here at Zimmerman Motors. It's Jeep Adventure Days, and we're celebrating with special Jeep pricing for everyone.
We have huge discounts on every new Jeep in stock, up to $6,000 off new Jeep Cherokees to qualified individuals.
We're also discounting every new Jeep Renegade up to $7,000. Jeep Adventure Day discounts all month long, great selection, 0% financing on many Jeep models. It's going to be a fun month.
So come in and see why people have been coming from all over the region to Zimmerman's Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Sunbury and experience what we call the Zimmerman Difference. Call 570-988-JEEP or visit us online at ZimmermanJeep.com.
Welcome back to Midwest. Kevin Herr with Coach Jim Kaiser of the Shikellamy Braves. Jim, when you look at this game, first time a meeting between Shikellamy and Midwest, that's historic right there. But there's also a pretty historic running back in a very young program there at Midwest, and he's a challenge.
Yeah, he's a heck of a back. We're watching him on film. They have a nice-sized offensive line up front, but he makes a lot of things happen just because he's so skillful.
How hard is it to take a guy like Wolfley? And again, he gets a little bit of a hole there, but he makes so much more out of just a little sliver. How hard is it to defend that?
Oh, it's tough, but we've been really excited about the way we're playing defense, and our guys are really excited for this challenge.
Well, you mentioned playing defense and being excited about it last week. Again, a really good defensive show. At times, a couple of plays just don't go your way, but the defense didn't break down and didn't give in. And that's what I think was the big difference here in the last couple of weeks is the resiliency of this defense. Is that what you guys are seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. They're really getting confidence. They're gaining a lot more confidence every quarter, every game, every play. The kids last week, we put Ethan Turber on the defensive line for the first time, and he ended up with 8 helmet stickers last week. So he had a heck of a game, a couple sacks, a couple hits for losses. And, again, they're just having fun playing defense right now.
So give us the helmet sticker story.
Well, again, the kids get stickers for different things, sacks, 10-plus tackles, hurries, stuff like that. And he had 2 sacks, 3 hurries. I forget everything that he had. It was just crazy. I'm looking it off, and the kids were like, "Are you kidding me, coach?" I said, "No, he's got 8 stickers coming."
Well, now look at this, all the defensive line that you had there last week. The average size was about 160 pounds if you soaked them in water.
Yeah. Oh, man. But they were so much fun to watch. They're so quick. They're tough to block. Jaden came over from Southern, and he's done a really great job since he got moved there. And, of course, Isaac Schaefer-Nice has been fantastic all season at the nose. And Turber just gave us a little bit more of a different dimension, a little more speed dimension, and I thought he did a great job.
What started to click a little bit last week with the offense?
Offensively, we started making plays. Drew was making throws. He was making fantastic throws. He made a lot of plays with his feet, made a lot of gave himself a lot of time with his feet. He didn't hurry things. I think early in the season, if you watch Drew was forcing things. He was getting excited, getting out of sync. This past week, the confidence started flowing in him, and he hit a couple of passes early, and it got him going.
Jim, what is it with this offense that makes it click? What is the one thing that you were able to pull off last week that you hadn't been able to all year collectively, not just with one guy?
Well, we got to open things up because of making plays. Again, it's about making plays. Johnny Pfeiffer, great receiver. He's had some struggles early on. Friday night, he caught everything. He looked like Spider-Man, and ball would just stick into his hands. And that's the kind of kid I see in practice every day, and that's the Johnny Pfeiffer I expect to see every week. And again, like I said, Drew made passes. We actually had some good runs from our running game with Colton and Gage, and I expect that a little bit more, especially, and Isaac Schaefer-Nice looked really good too.
Going back to tonight's game with Midwest, we talked about Wolfley, the running back. What is it also that you've seen on film with this Mustangs team offensively that that you want to watch?
Well, again, they're big up front. They're going to try and steamroll us up because, you know, we're a lot smaller, as you said, up front. You know, there's a fullback there that's pretty good, too. 40, I can't think of his name right now. But he's a nice-looking kid in a running game. Quick hitters, they run a quick dive to him. And he'll run over some people. And, again, he's a nice lead blocker in front of Wolfley.
Well, hopefully we get a chance to do a ninth game this year if all things work out well. But good luck tonight.
Thanks very much, Kev.
You're listening to Braves Football on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
Attention homeowners, did you know you can help keep your appliances working efficiently? The appliance experts at Peters do. If you're not vacuuming under and behind your refrigerator at least twice a year, you're robbing your refrigerator's ability to run efficiently as it can. What's worse, if left undone, your refrigerator can overheat, causing failure. That's because your refrigerator relies on proper air circulation to dissipate heat energy being removed from inside. Peters Home Appliance Center has the answers to all your home appliance needs. They've been helping appliance shoppers over 50 years. Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury.
For nearly six decades, Hubs Home Oxygen and Medical Supplies has served the home health needs of Central PA with outstanding respiratory services and quality home medical equipment. We provide solutions to enhance the lives of our customers and their loved ones by helping them be safer, more comfortable, and independent at home. With offices in Williamsport, Lewisburg, Lock Haven, Wellsboro, Harrisburg, and Carlisle, there is always a nearby office to help you improve your life. Now open, our new Hubs location in the Susquehanna Valley Mall in Sealands Grove.
At the Schock Law Office, attorney Richard Schock brings over 20 years of experience providing legal services and solutions to individuals, government entities, and businesses both large and small. Serving the greater Susquehanna Valley and now conveniently located just off the strip at 8 Commerce Avenue in Sealands Grove, the Schock Law Office can help you find the legal solutions you need for your life or business. So whether your legal needs involve estate planning, starting or growing a business, developing real estate, or navigating any of the many laws and regulations that affect you or your business, contact the Schock Law Office at 570-492-7133 or on the web at schocklaw.com.
It's game time, and the team at I'm the Guy Basement Systems is ready to give you a customized game plan to fix your basement's problems. Moisture, seepage, mold, those are serious problems that won't go away on their own. Let ITG help. We offer free inspections to ensure your home is dry and healthy. Visit ITGBasementSystems.com to schedule your free estimate today.
ITG Basement Systems, I'm the guy to make it dry.
Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, is the lowest price guaranteed, period. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, you're always going to find the lowest price at Blaze Alexander Ford. Check out all our inventory at blazealexanderford.com. And we have one of the largest selections in the state of Pennsylvania on new Fords and pre-owned vehicles. Don't make a $1,000 mistake. Make the drive to Route 45 in Lewisburg, where you're always going to get the most for your trade and the lowest price guaranteed. Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, taking the deals the other guys.
Oh, I hate this line. I'm going to be late for work. I just want a cup of good coffee. And I don't have all day to sit here waiting.
Well, good news for you. You can get fresh roasted coffee and treats at Route 11 Coffee and Cream on the Danville Highway. It's going to be the funnest, funkiest coffee shop in the valley with a drive-thru that serves you friendly and fast. So go to their Facebook page now for updates. Route 11 Coffee and Cream on, you know, Route 11, of course, in between Norrie and Danville.
Welcome back to Midwest and Middleburg, Pennsylvania, home of the Mustangs, and tonight's first ever meeting between the Braves and the Midwest Mustangs. Let's give you the starting lineups first for the 2-5 Shikellamy Braves. It'll be Drew Balestrini at quarterback. Balestrini, 45 of 120, four picks, four touchdowns, 653 yards. He's a 6'1", 155 senior. Gage Wolf will be the running back, a 5'10", 170 junior, 28 carries, 118 yards, and a touchdown for the 5'10", 170 junior. Isaac Schaefer Knights getting some time at running back, the 5'9", 190 sophomore, along with Colton Simcoe, a 5'10", 160 junior with 74 carries, 214 yards on the ground. He's the second leading rusher next to Balestrini, who has 305. Davis Marshall, the leading receiver. Marshall, a 6'4", 190 senior, nine catches for 115 yards, averaging 13 yards a grab. John Pfeiffer, the other wide receiver, at 15 yards a catch, is a 6'3", 165 junior. Across the front, it'll be Caleb Kashner at left tackle, a 6'4", 212 junior. At the left guard position will be Nate Gessner, a 5'10", 200-pound senior. Alex Geiser will be the center. He's a 5'11", 205 junior, along with Trent Schrader at right guard, a 5'10", 207 sophomore. And Curtis Raker, the right tackle, a 5'9", 230 junior. Defensively for the Mustangs, it'll be Sawyer Hernsberger, who leads the team in sacks with 2.5. He's a 6'2", 250 senior. Braden Swineford, a 6'2", 250 senior, leading the team in fumble recoveries with a pair. Larry Sitka is the defensive tackle, a 6'1", 270 senior, and Landon Lauver, the defensive end, a 6'2", 230 freshman. Four linebackers in the middle. It'll be Austin Dorman with 35 tackles on the year for the 5'8", 215 sophomore. Trey Lauver, the leading tackler, a 6'2", 230 senior with 52 tackles on the year, a sack and a fumble recovery. The outside backers will be Ryan Hartman, a 6'2", 175 sophomore, and Ben Umstead, the 6'3", 225 senior. Eli Swan is one of the corners, the 5'9", 160 senior, along with Corey Reinard, a 6'1", 180 junior. And Christian Register is the safety. He's a 5'10", 185 junior. Register is also the quarterback on the offensive side. 34 of 103, 9 interceptions, 5 touchdowns, 503 yards passing for the 5'10", 185 junior. Hunter Wolfley, we talked about, the halfback. He is a 5'10", 185 senior with almost 1,300 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns on the ground, 3 in the air, the leading receiver with 241 yards. Trey Lauver is the fullback, a 6'2", 230 senior with 163 yards on 45 carries and a couple of touchdowns. Eli Swan is the wide receiver. Ryan Hartman, by the way, the leading receiver of the wide receivers at 165 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Hartman, the 6'2", 175 junior, also at wide receiver. And we had Ben Umstead at the tight end position for the 6'3", 225 senior. We're told that may not be the case. Miles Arend is the left tackle, a 6'2", 250-pound sophomore. Sawyer Hornsberger is also in that lineup as the left guard. The center will be Gavin Porchline, a 6'1", 280 junior. Walter Stuck, the right guard, 6'2", 240 senior. Sitka, the right tackle as well. Defensively for the Braves, it'll be Jaden McCormick up front along with Isaac Schaefer Knights and Ethan Turber Ortiz. The linebackers outside to in will be Marshall, Weir, Snyder, Wolf, and Simcoe. Balestrini and Pfeiffer at quarterback and Connor Fitzgerald, the 6'1", 170 senior at safety. By the way, Duncan Weir with his 86 tackles, 10th in the state right now in tackles, and it leads the team in sacks with a pair. That's your starting lineups. We'll have the opening kick when we return. It's the first ever meeting between the Braves and the Mustangs on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
In this election, the health and financial security of voters over 50 are on the line. That's why AARP Pennsylvania is fighting for your voice to be heard. If you haven't voted yet, now is the time to learn about your voting options and cast your ballot. We're working to make sure you can vote safely, whether you choose to vote from home or in person. And if you choose to vote by mail, make sure you return your ballot using both envelopes. Your ballot goes in the smaller envelope for secrecy, and that goes into the larger envelope for mailing. Also, don't forget to sign the voter declaration on the back. Your voice matters. Make sure it's heard. Go to aarp.org/PAVotes to learn about your voting options and how to vote safely this election. Visit aarp.org/PAVotes today. Paid for by AARP.
Saving money on your next vehicle is as easy as SMC.
Sunbury Motor Company.
Since 1915, SMC provides total commitment to complete customer satisfaction. Sunbury Motor sells and services new Fords, Lincolns, and Hyundais in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And new Kias on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf. No one beats Sunbury Motor Company's lowest price promise. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. SMC, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. During this time, we are operating under the guidance of the PA Insurance Department. Most of our staff continues to work from home to practice social distancing for the safety of our staff and clients. Our office remains open and available to service our current and new clients by phone, by calling 570-286-5855, email, and by appointment. Our after-hours emergency service is also ready to assist our clients with their needs. From the team at Purdy Insurance, stay safe, be well, be kind, and know that we remain dedicated to the highest levels of service to protect what matters most.
No heat?
Better call McCreary.
Furnace is broke.
Better call McCreary.
Boiler not boiling?
Better call McCreary.
Heat pump tune up for winter.
Already?
Yep, already.
Better call McCreary.
Service, repair, installations. Call us because we're the best. McCreary's HVAC. Oh, and even on for refrigeration.
Better call McCreary's.
Call 570-473-8815 or on that device of yours. McCreary's HVAC Inc.com.
Better call McCreary's.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Getting ready for both teams to make their appearance here in the field. It is a turf field. It is set up originally for soccer. First year for this field, though. And use is football, and in use in general, as a matter of fact. It is lined out for football in black and in white for soccer, with the Mustangs logo in blue and black in the middle.
And don't forget field hockey.
And field hockey, you're right. I did miss the field hockey lines there as well. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Shikellamy Braves football.
It's Sports Talk, where your voice counts. The Steve Jones Show, weekdays from 3 to 5 on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online at WKOK.com.
Braves making their appearance on the field, and they're all white uniforms here in just a moment, with the traditional helmet this year and the stripe down the side. Mustangs were warming up, and they're all black uniforms with the light blue numerals and trim. They will be coming to the near sidelines here in just a moment. Chief, what's your assessment when you look at these two teams and how they match up tonight?
Well, I think in order for Shikellamy to win tonight, they're going to have to stop the running attack of the Mustangs. And for the Mustangs to win, they're going to have to do something they haven't been able to do, and that's throw the football, because I think the Braves will bend a little bit with the running attack, but they've done very well against the Jersey Shore's running attack 2 weeks ago and Milton's this past week. So when you don't have a lot of passes under your belt and you're not a threat to throw the ball, sometimes it makes it a little bit easier to defend a run. So I think that might be to the Braves' advantage.
Well, one way or another, this will be the last home game for the Midwest Mustangs. So a lot of phones are out. A lot of fans are waiting for the team to make their appearance. Braves have made their appearance on the far side of the field.
And the Mustangs are down here at the other end, Kevin. You're kind of blocked by those cinder blocks there, but they just didn't run through their sign yet.
I'm going to open the door, and I'll be able to see here a little bit better.
But, and you're going to have to remind me to give the time, because I'm the only one that can see the time.
You can. Yes, that is correct. And there is no play clock here. So, again, you know, that's something that Balestrini has not had to deal with this year, is the fact that there is no play clock. So it will be on the field. He'll have to keep an eye on the back judge. And the back judge typically has hand signals to show how much time is left.
Usually the team carries out one flag. The Mustangs have three flags.
That's right. They indeed do. And have come out now, and they're all black with light blue numerals and trim.
And this being Snyder County, I'm surprised there's not a Trump sign with them when they ran out. So I'm not trying to get political, but we did see a lot of Trump signs and flags on the way over.
That's very true. We'll take this opportunity to pause along with the stadium here in Midwest and honor our nation with the national anthem. national anthem here at Midwest High School as we get ready for the inaugural game between the Shikellamy Braves and the Midwest Mustangs. Braves coming into tonight's matchup 2-4 on the season. Midwest a 1-6 record on the year, and had a tough one last week against Bloomsburg. Got a couple of points on the board via safety. So the Braves warming have warmed up and get ready on the far sideline. We did not get a chance to see the coin toss situation, but you do have the officials for tonight's game, I believe, Chief.
I sure do, Kevin. Just give me a little time here to find where I put the list.
And check it twice.
Exactly.
It's almost
getting
that time.
That time of the year, too. So, well, we've got Kerry Davis as the referee tonight. Deacon Kane is the umpire. Gary Runtis is the line. Then Randy Laubach is the line judge. The side judge is Phil Martin. And Rich Meese is the, I don't know what FS stands for.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know.
I have to think of that one, too.
Far side?
Maybe.
Gary Larson, the far side.
I don't know. That's a good
one. But anyway,
question.
they're the officials that we have this evening.
Can't say I've ever, I don't remember that one. But
they, you know, Kevin, they didn't even meet in the middle. And,
no.
I didn't see them meet. They must have met outside the locker rooms.
Yeah.
But any way you look at it.
Well, I'm going to guess Midwest, they decided to defer.
Yes.
So that's going to put Eli Swan up for ready to boot the ball away in the middle of the field. Back deep for Shikellamy. To the near side, it will be Pfeiffer. And one to the far side. Looks like Morgan to the far side. Here comes the kick. Swan will boot one. And it will hit at about the 20-yard line. Roll dead at about the 18. Picked up by Pfeiffer at the 20 to the 25. To the middle of the field now. Leaning ahead to the 28-yard line, and that's where the Braves will take over, first and 10 at the Shikellamy 28.
Nice coverage by Midwest kickoff team, and John did the right thing. He started, I thought he was going to try to do the east-west route, but he decided to head it upfield and picked up a couple of yards. Nice kickoff. That was one of those knuckleballs that didn't knuckle. It just kind of stopped.
Yeah, and it looked like a wedge shot here on the turf.
And it did not go out of bounds, so, and that caught John a little bit off his mark, but he did field it okay and got us some yardage.
Ballastrini will go in the shotgun. He'll have four wide receivers, same set we saw last week at this time, and he'll have one receiver in motion. That's going to be Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald gets the fake, is the lead blocker for Ballastrini. He's tackled from behind, and he'll be dropped for a loss, maybe a no gain on the play at best. And looked like that might have been number 44 coming from his middle linebacker position to the far side. Actually, I'm going to correct that. That's actually a loss of five. I thought it was going to be a loss of a little.
Kevin,
loss.
I'm looking through two pieces of plastic, all right? It's a little blurry, all right? So it's going to be tough for me to get some
I'm a little blurry myself, here, so. Come to mention it, you know?
No, we'll take care of it when I get a chance, so thank you.
Shotgun. Nope, actually back under center now for Ballastrini. Ballastrini will come to the near side. He's looking, has time, fires it. Cutting across is Fitzgerald. That is behind him and goes incomplete on the coverage. Is Register, the safety for Midwest. It'll be third down and about 16.
Well, Connor was wide open, Kevin. The ball was thrown behind him. Of course, Drew's a right-handed passer, and he's rolling to his left, so he got to get almost the perfect set to get those shoulders square and throw it. And I don't think Drew got completely squared around on that one.
There were a little time, though, for Ballastrini,
something he
has not had this year a whole lot.
He had plenty of time to throw the ball. You're right.
Shotgun formation on this third down and about 16. Back to pass, Ballastrini looking. Now he's going to roll out to the far side, has some running room, cuts it up. Flag, I believe, flew, but maybe that might have been something else. They're going to say he stepped out of bounds at the 20, so he's going to be a loss of about 3, and that will bring up a second down and, I'm sorry, a fourth down, rather.
Down. They're going to punt, Kevin.
That'll be fourth down and about 17 at the 21-yard line. And that will bring on the punting unit for the first time. Gittins not available again tonight. So it appears as though it'll be Davis Marshall doing the punting. We didn't see him last week.
Davis is, well, the Braves didn't punt last week.
That's why we didn't see him last week punting. That's correct. So Marshall with his heels on about the 10-yard line gets it away. Line drive kick at the 45-yard line, taken to the middle of the field to the 50. Now in some running room, Midwest returner has it. He's coming down the right side, and he is going to go into the end zone, and he hits the pylon for the touchdown. And I have no idea who that was, to be quite honest with you.
I'm looking at
Hunter Wolfley, I think, is who it was, if I looked right, at 25. Hunter Wolfley.
Yeah,
with
that's
his
who it was, Kevin.
Third return of a punt, or actually, according to the numbers that we have, his first punt return of the season. And that one is going to be a 55-yard punt return for a touchdown.
And that's with 10:41 to go here in the first quarter. That first of all, that got off that line drive punt. The ball, the receiver, the punt returner gets that too quick. He gets a lot of speed, Braves, and he just ran by a couple of people. But once he got through the first bunch of Braves players, he there's nothing between him and the goal line. So
and that extra point is no good. So that makes it 6-0 on the 55-yard return by Hunter Wolfley, the 5'10", 180-pound senior for the Mustangs. And the Mustangs on the board without even touching the football on the offensive side of things.
Well, we got our first look at Mr. Wolfley. And
not the way we expected.
He is everything that the advertisement said about him, Kevin.
Absolutely. You know, and that was not... That was not an easy, clean run. He actually came to the middle of the field. He actually had some traffic in front of him. It wasn't like he had plenty of open space there to run. So the Braves will try and bounce back here after
that.
Not
trying to make excuses, but, you know, you were used to Gittens has that high spiral, and this was a line drive.
It was a line drive.
It was more than 10 to 12 feet off the ground.
Absolutely.
It was
right.
Almost like a pass, and by the time the guys looked up, he had the ball and was headed backfield. And he ran by a couple of guys, and then he ran through some. And like you said, he did his best Drew Balestrini imitation as he weaved his way down to the touchdown.
Anyway, you look at it. It's six.
It's six, exactly.
Swan will set up in the middle of the field. It'll be, again, and this time moving up to about the 15-yard line, is going to be Pfeiffer to the near side and to the far side. Looks like that's going to be Morgan. It's going to be a squib kick this time, taken by one of the Braves' up men. That's going to be Gage Wolf on the right side across the 40 to the 47-yard line. So the Braves with some outstanding field position here in this second possession at the 47-yard line.
Well, Gage did a nice job of fielding that. That it was almost like an onside kick, but it was, you know, pushed a little bit further. Hopefully they were trying to hit probably one of the linemen up front and get a ricochet off of it, but Gage picked it up and went straight up the field and got good yardage and good starting position for the Braves.
10:35 to go first quarter. Shikellamy trailing Midwest by a score of 7-0. Their second possession with split backs behind Balestrini in the quarterback slot. Back to a wing T formation in this series. And Balestrini will roll out to the near side on the waggle. Makes a man miss. Now steps inside to the 40, 45, and will dive ahead to the back to them. Going to spot him at about the 47, which is where I thought this drive was actually going to start, and give him a gain of 2 from the original line of scrimmage, which was the 44.
Ryan Hartman in on the tackle, and of course big Trey Lauver in there from his linebacker position came up to get Balestrini, but he did pick up a pretty good chunk of yardage there, Kevin.
Well, now mark it to the 48, so a 4-yard gain, and second down and 6 for Shikellamy in this second series. Pfeiffer now coming to the near side along with Fitzgerald in the slot. Far side, it's Weir in the slot, and then go wider to Marshall. And there's the pressure. Balestrini in some trouble, and he's going down.
58, Kevin. Sawyer Hornberger.
Hornberger, he's the sack leader on this team with 2.5 sacks. That's going to be 3.5 now. And that one, a big one, because the Braves are looking at a nice little, after a 4-yard first down gain, now send it all the way back to a third down from the 33-yard line. And that'll be about 15 yards. They have to go to 16 yards for a first down.
They brought everybody that time, Kevin. They just laid the ears back and came.
Balestrini now looking at the sideline. He'll come back, tell his receivers the new play. Four receivers once again. And he'll take the direct snap out of the shotgun. Has some time. Sets up. Looking long downfield. Weir wide open. The defender fell. Weir makes the catch. Weir gets tackled down at the 9-yard line.
Nice throw. Weir came down the middle of the field. Actually, Connor Fitzgerald was right there, too, on the opposite side. But it was a great throw by Balestrini. He stepped up into the pocket and delivered. And Braves with a little bit of no-huddle offense here, Kevin.
51 yards on the completion to Weir to set up this first down and 10 at about the 11-yard line. Ballestrini under center. He'll hand it off right side. Running room there for a moment for Wolf, but not enough.
He picked up about 5 yards.
I'll tell you what.
I'm telling you, he picked up the hole there. Well, he got 4.
I didn't think he was going to get that many.
Well, he got 4.
Because that hole collapsed quickly.
But he saw the inside seam and stepped in there, Kevin. Then he leaned forward. He fell forward, which is always important if you're a running back.
Ball now at the 4-yard line, I believe. Again, no, it's tough to see these black lines on the field to see exactly where the ball is. Man in motion to the far side. Ballestrini on the waggle to the right side. He's going to tuck it. He's going to cut upfield. Now he's going to fire it at the last second, well beyond Fitzgerald in the back of the end zone. Incomplete. That was more of a throw it away because there was nothing really there.
Kevin, I just don't know where the wedge blocking is when you get down on the 5-yard line and you go straight up the field. Okay, I know what they were trying to do there. They were going to waggle to the right side, and they were looking for, you know, the tight end crossing deeper in the end zone, and of course the back out of the backfield a little bit closer to the quarterback, but it was well covered by the Midwest secondary.
I'm going to say it's third and seven from the 8. Ballestrini with a direct snap out of the shotgun. Down to the middle of the field. Incomplete. Fitzgerald got a hand on it, but there was a lot of traffic in the middle of that end zone.
That was actually meant for Davis Marshall, and Davis didn't put his hands up. I mean, you know, it was there. Connor was like a little bit farther behind him, and like you said, it went through his hands too. So fourth down, Kevin.
You know, this might have been a situation if Gittens was available. It's in the middle of the field. They might have gone for 3, but instead at fourth down and about 6, they're going to have to go for the first down or a touchdown. Ballestrini, they have to get to the 1. Ballestrini on the shotgun. Direct snap, fires to the middle of the end zone. Incomplete. Too tall for Marshall, and it's a turnover on down.
It was catchable, Kevin. It was right there. It was right in his face. Gets his hands on it, and he just went right through his hands.
I thought it was actually going to sail on him a little bit, but you're right. He did get his hands
it
in that general vicinity.
It was catchable. Well, good job by the Mustangs to hold the Braves. They picked up 4 yards on the first time they ran the ball, and then after that, they tried to throw the ball 3 times, and Midwest defense rose to the occasion and stopped them.
8 minutes to go in the first quarter, leading it 6-0 with the ball at their own 8-yard line. This time, Register with a first snap, and it goes right to Wolfley, and Wolfley draws a huge crowd off the left side. Might have lost a yard there.
Schaefer Knights with the original hit, but Weir was there also, and there was nothing there, Kevin. I mean, the Braves did a nice job of defending that off-tackle play.
So it's a loss of 2. Don't forget, we'll be watching for that Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. That might have been the opening of that punt return at this point. And Register now hands off left side, running room there. Wolfley's in the open field. Wolfley to the 20, to the 30, now to the near side, comes to the 50. He's going to outrace everybody down the sideline to about the 30-yard line and a touchdown. Saving tackle from Ballestrini at the Shikellamy 30.
Kevin, Hunter Wolfley has that ability to turn the speed up very quickly. He just ran right by two of the Braves that never even got their hands out at the line of scrimmage. I mean, unbelievable.
That's about a 63-yard run. That was a heck of a run. 60, maybe even 65. Be a pistol formation. First and 10. They'll spot it at the 27-yard line. And the fake pitch, they'll go to the fullback, Lauver, off the left side, and there's a little bit of running room for Lauver, maybe back to the line of scrimmage, yeah, if that.
Gage Wolf along with Duncan Weir on the tackle, and the nice thing about it was they did get him a little bit behind the line of scrimmage. This is almost a counterplay out of that formation.
Weir came up and filled that one quick. There was a little bit of a hole there. So now Midwest with a second down and 11 from about the 28-yard line. And actually, we have an official timeout. We haven't had it yet. Now we do, because there was a player trying to tie a shoe. And I was waiting for the official to give him the opportunity, but I guess you have to ask for it.
Well,
I don't know.
He had to take his glove off to tie his shoe, and his glove was on the ground. Now he picks the glove up, and we're set to go.
Again. And this one is going to be a handoff right side, and that time quickly getting in there for the Braves was Turber Ortiz, and rips Hunter down, Hunter Wolfley rather, down for, but not before a quick gain of four, bring up a third down and seven. Quick update on the Blaze Alexander Ford Tough game of the week. It is Shamokin 2, Selins Grove nothing in the first quarter. A double off the wall will do it every time, won't you?
Yeah, they must have had runners on second and third, or very fast guys on first and second.
There's the fake to the fullback, give to the running back, Wolfley. Wolfley goes off the left side, and he does. He spins off three guys and comes close to that first down marker. We'll call it a gain of about six. We'll see where they officially put it. Needed about seven. He's going to be about 2 yards short.
Kevin, not only does he have the speed and the ability to slash, but he's also one of those kids that you never really get a good lick on him. I mean, and he has great center of gravity, great balance.
Fourth down and a long two, short three from the 19-yard line. Under center is Register, the quarterback. Long count. He will hand it off to Lauver, the fullback. He is met and stopped, and that is going nowhere. Turnover on down.
Well, that's Knights, Weir, and Davis, and Turber Ortiz on the tackle. So you had two backers, and you got two out of the three down linemen. You know, I just, again, Kevin, who would you want to give it to? I mean, I know they tried the big fullback off tackle, but the Braves are ready for that.
So they'll turnover on downs at the 19-yard line. Shikellamy taking over with 4:51 to go, trailing it by a score of 6-0 on the 55-yard punt return from Wolfley on the first, basically, Midwest touch of the game. Here's Weir. Looked like he might have wanted to throw that one and then decided to run that one all the way around the corner.
And that was sweep all the way, Kevin.
Maybe it was just the way he was trying to tuck that ball away, but it looked like he was positioning it kind of weird. And well, it'll be a gain of six, second down and about four.
If you notice how deep in the backfield the handoff was as he came in motion, I think he was trying to adjust to get to the corner. And he did. He picked up 5 yards.
Quick update on the Blaze Alexander Family Dealership scoreboard. Southern Columbia 14, Line Mountain nothing, and that's in the 2A District 4 semis. Play fake. Ballastrini will get it right up the middle. He will easily get the first down to the 30-yard line, gain of five.
Just a little bit of, option with Ballastrini, pass option, and he got a lot of that on his own because he was met at the line of scrimmage. The Midwest defended it very well, but just like Wolfley, Ballastrini's a little tough to bring down once in a while, Kevin.
Clock winding with 4 minutes remaining here in the first quarter, 6-0, Midwest on top, with the Braves now in their third possession of this first quarter. They'll move around Wolf to the right side. Now they'll send a man in motion, and the pitch is going to be to that motion man, Schaefer Knights trying to turn the corner. He got the corner, and now he's going to be right down that first down marker near the 40-yard line.
I thought he was going to get stopped at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, but he did a nice job of getting around the one outside backer for Midwest, and he almost got the first down. I think he's on about a yard short, Kevin.
He's going to be just short of the 40-yard line in the middle of the field. Second down and about 1.5. Pfeiffer coming to the near side. And a wing formation as the wing goes to the right. Under center, Ballastrini sends a man in motion. That's Wolf to the receiver position on the far side. Handoff right side goes to Simcoe. Simcoe will be close to the first down. He'll get it by about a yard. Give him two on the carry to the 41-yard line. First and 10, Shikellamy.
Colton with a little rough going there. Sometimes you gotta be able to get a little speed up before you hit that hole, and Colton wasn't able to, but he did pick up the first down. And we've got 2:52 to go here in this first quarter.
6-0 Midwest. First and 10 for Shikellamy. And Ballastrini will hand it off. Stretch play coming to the near side to Wolf. And Wolf will be drugged down. Good defensive play by Austin Dorman, the middle linebacker. It'll be a loss of five back to the 38-yard line.
Well, that time the sweep, the same play that Duncan Weir made good yardage on earlier, was defended well by that the entire, would have been the right side of the Midwest line.
So now the Braves will go back to a four-quick set, shotgun, sidecar right in Simcoe. Marshall to the far side along with Weir. Back to pass, looking at a quick screen out to the wide, out to the running back Simcoe. Simcoe has it, crosses the 45 to the 46-yard line.
As well executed. They left that outside backer, you know, come free, and he almost did get Drew, but Drew got rid of it just in time to Simcoe, picked up a lot of the yardage that they lost, plus some more.
It'll be third down and six.
Yeah, under 2 minutes, a minute 43 here to go in the first quarter. Midwest still up 6-0.
Two receivers to the near side. That's going to be Fitzgerald and also Pfeiffer. Now a man in motion is Weir. Weir's going to get it. Weir's running all the way, has a blocker in front, and he gets hogtied at the 50-yard line. And I mean hogtied as in no. With a lasso around the neck. And that'll be a gain of maybe three. It'll bring up a fourth down and a long two.
Braden Swineford with probably one of the best throws we've seen in a long time.
Kevin, hip toss.
You get a hold of the shoulders, and then you that big body as he swings around, and Duncan went right with him. I thought Duncan was going to get the first down. He had good yardage.
Actually, I got a penalty against Shikalimi here, I believe. I did not see the official call. I didn't even see the flag, to be honest.
They're going to take it, so it looks like holding.
And it does appear to be marching. It looks like the hold was right about where Weir got tackled, too. So instead of at the 50-yard line on fourth down, it'll be back to the 39-yard line for third down as Shikalimi called for a hold. And now they'll bring Balestrini, Weir, and Marshall back in. So they'll go with their basically four quick set now. And they'll spread it out. Running back Simcoe to the left of Balestrini. Fitz and Pfeiffer to the near side on the near hash mark, moving right to left in this first quarter. High snap, Balestrini's got it. Rolls out to the near side, sets up, fires, looking for Fitzgerald down the sidelines. He makes the catch under duress and steps out of bounds at the 20-yard line.
You know, there was people all over him, and they bumped into him. I thought they were going to get a pass interference call, but, you know, great concentration that time by Connor to catch that ball.
41 yards on the catch by Connor Fitzgerald. And that is Fitz's longest catch of the season. Had a 38-yarder earlier on.
Well, Connor, along with Pfeiffer, it's nice when you've got two big receivers like that that have good hands. And Connor did a nice job of hauling that one in under duress.
And Fitzgerald will take the handoff this time. Cut it upfield. He gets inside the 10-yard line, down inside the 8, and down almost the 5-yard line before he is stopped. They'll spot him down as the official continues to move at the 7-yard line with 22 seconds remaining. And it'll be first and goal from the 7.
Kevin, that's the same play that Duncan Weir has run twice coming back towards us, towards Midwest bench. That time they had Connor run it towards the Shikalimi bench, and they get nice blocking. He did a great job of running.
And they'll get one more play in, trying to get the lead, trailing at 6-0 here in this first quarter, just about 10 seconds left. Fitzgerald in motion, high snap. Balestrini's got it, coming to the near side. He has some room, cuts it inside, puts his head down. Touchdown!
Yeah, down here, they gave him a
Shikalimi!
Touchdown.
Yep. Had to wait for the official to think it over a little bit and then finally raise the hands upward. And the Braves tie it up at 6 with a Balestrini score from about 6 yards out.
Great job by Drew. I mean, the snap was high, and he had to reach out for it. They had people on him right away. I don't think he was planning on running that ball to the right side, but that time he did, and he got himself into the end zone. So we'll see if the Braves can go ahead here. Duncan, we're holding.
And it's going to be Kuntz again. Kuntz again. Kuntz again is the kicker. He was pretty good last week. He'll set up again. Weir, as you said, will hold. Long count. Fitzgerald snap is good. Holds down. The kick is up. It is short, and it hits the crossbar and rolls over.
Oh, my gosh.
By the paint of the crossbar, Shikellamy takes a 7-6 lead with 3.8 left here in the first quarter of play.
Do you know what had to happen for that to hit the crossbar? It had to hit in such a way that it wasn't going to boink back, all right? It was going to continue on that motion, that end-over-end motion, and just right. He's living right, is correct. But anyway, you look at it, with 3.8 seconds to go here, the Braves up 7-6. So they've come back after that long punt return by Wolfley for six. And again, the pass to Fitzgerald got him out of the hole. I mean, they looked like they were dead in the water there, third down and about 20 yards to go, and Drew unleashed that bomb, and when I say he was under duress to catch that, and you got to admit, Kevin, the official was right there, and I thought they were going to throw a flag because he got ran into as the ball was approaching. But any way you look at it, he caught the ball and
points on the board,
and then the very next play he ran the sweep and picked up another 10 yards.
Shikellamy with a 7-6 lead here in the latter seconds remaining in the quarter.
Is Mr. Wolfley back there?
Well, you can see it better than I can, buddy.
Quick update. Yes, he is. He's right towards us here, Kevin.
Quick update on the Alexander Family Dealership out-of-town scoreboard. Lewisburg, Hughesville scoreless in the first, as well as Montgomery, Warrior, Wellsboro, Milton, and Warrior Run. The not-this-year Tomato Bowl. And it is Troy leading South Williamsport 6-0 in the first quarter of play. That game is a District 4 2A semifinal. And there's the kick, an end-over-end kick taken by one of the up men at about the 20-yard line. He'll cut to the inside and get snowed under at the 30, and that will do it right there. So at the end of the first quarter of play, it is Shikellamy 7, Midwest 6. You're listening to Braves Football on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
I'm Art Thomas, president of Diversified Construction. Bathroom modifications, outside ramps and vertical platform lifts, stair glides and door widenings are some of the construction services we provide. Our certified agent-in-place specialist can meet with your family to discuss projects that keep people living where they want to be. Don't wait for a crisis situation. Diversified Construction can help keep you safe at home. Visit our website, check out our Facebook page, and call us today for a free site visit and consultation. Diversified Construction, proud to be the consumer's choice.
Sportsmen, join us at Martz's Gap View Hunting Preserve. Located 15 miles south of Sunbury, Martz's has 1,200 acres of upland game bird hunting habitat and has been an excellent place to enjoy an outdoor family experience since 1957. Martz's also offers continental shoots, sporting clays, wobble trap, and lodging. We thank our veterans for their sacrifices for the greatest country on the planet with special events. Visit us online at martz's.com.
Welcome back to Midwest. Kevin Herr along with the Chief Dave Ritchie as we have a 7-6 game here in this first ever meeting between the Mustangs and the Shikellamy Braves. An entertaining first quarter. Midwest will take the ball now at their own 31-yard line with a 1st and 10 coming. Man in motion to the far side. Register in the shotgun in the pistol formation. Hand off now to Wolfley. Wolfley will break a tackle and lean ahead for a gain of maybe 2 to the 32-yard line. It'll be 2nd down and 8 for the Mustangs.
Well, Gage Wolf is getting up on I think he was at the bottom of that tackle. But, number 4 for Shikellamy, it would have been the left tackle. Jaden McCormick was the one that met him in the backfield, but he just didn't hold on to him.
2nd down, and well, actually gave him about a yard, so it'll be 2nd down and 9 from the 32-yard line. Send one receiver to the near side. That's actually Wolfley in the receiver slot, I believe, this time.
He's one of the favorites, Kevin.
And Register back to pass, looking the opposite direction, sends one, and a beautiful extended catch as the receiver went up in the air for it, trying to see exactly who that was. It was a They have a lot of low-numbered receivers, and that one was actually by Everest Wilson, the junior, with his third catch of the season. That was a nice one.
It was a Danny. And, you know, I think they might have used Wolfley as a decoy out there.
Absolutely right.
Because they brought him across the formation.
Gain of 7, second down and 2, just short of the 40-yard line at the 39.
Third down, Kevin.
I'm sorry, third down. You're correct. Pistol formation. Register, worm burner snap, and Hunter's going to have to hop on this one. Wolfley doesn't, actually tries to pick it up and run with it, but then he is swarmed under by several of the Braves, including Weir, the 10th leading tackler in the state of Pennsylvania, according to Max Preps.
Well, Gage Wolf actually got there. Actually, Marshall Davis got there first.
Or Davis Marshall.
Davis Marshall got there first.
Or his cousin, Davis Marshall.
General Davis Marshall, yeah. Yeah, go ahead, make fun of the old guy.
It's all right. I'll do something later. You can even score,
believe me. I can guarantee you
it's
that.
It's going to happen.
Right. We got 9:59 to go here in the second quarter, Kev.
Loss of 14 on the play. We'll bring up a fourth down and about 15, and they'll punt it away. And this one hits at the 50, takes a nice Midwest roll to the 35.
Nice punt.
Pfeiffer's going to have to let that one go to the 30. Watermelon's its way down just past the 30-yard line, and that's where Shikalimi will take over.
You can't ask for a better job from your punter than that one, Kevin. And, you know, he got it off. It was a little low, but he got a great roll on it, too.
9:41 to go after the Swan punt, and the Braves will take over at their own 30. Don't forget,
that
Shamokin
was
Dam.
Eli, wasn't it? Eli
yes.
Swan. Okay.
Coming up, the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. We'll tell you what that play is when we figure it out. I don't think we've seen it yet, to be honest.
I don't know. The way, you know, the way the Braves and Midwest have some big play capabilities, it could come later.
It could come much later. Balestrini under center, handoff left side. Big running room there for Colton Simcoe, and Simcoe will pick up 7 on that first down carry.
Colton playing the fullback position in that formation and ran between right off the left tackle. And that time he had some running room and actually snaked through there for 8 yards.
Don't forget, coming up at halftime, scores from around the region plus the numbers in this game. We call it the Service Electric Halftime Report. Balestrini under center, backs are split. Handoff now left side. Simcoe finds nothing that time at all. Somehow keeps the Pistons going and come up with the first down. He was stopped for no gain and still carries half of the Midwest defense for a gain of 4 and a first down.
Well, big old 67 had a hold of him in the backfield. I thought he was dead in the water right there, Kevin.
Siska but had him and just drug him along.
And there was some other guys there too. First down. I won't say that Colton Simcoe doesn't run hard now, Kevin.
That was effort there on that first down to the 41-yard line.
When's the last time the Braves ran two plays back-to-back and got a first down, Kevin?
Yeah, really. Marshall to the far side of the field. Now the handoff coming to the near side is Wolf on the counter. Wolf will pick up about 4 before he is dropped there. And
well, 58.
Leading the way is,
and 67,
yep,
Kevin.
Yep, that's Hornsberger there and also
and
getting Siska.
Well, Siska that time made sure he went down.
Beautiful full moon tonight showing out here.
Well, actually,
I said in the pregame, moon over Middleburg.
Braves losing a little ball control with 8:17 to go here in this second quarter.
Leading it 7-0 with a second down and 6 from just about the 44-yard line. Here's the pitch to the near side, trying to tuck it away is Schaefer Knights. Schaefer Knights spins, gets to the 50, now into Midwest territory at the 47-yard line. That'll be good enough for a first down.
Again, it looked like he was going to get tackled behind or near the line of scrimmage, and he ran through those two guys, and you're right, he did the nice little spin move. He was standing straight up and down. I was expecting him to get really popped, but that spin move got him the extra yardage he needed.
I can't even get it to. I can't even do that on Madden. I mean, that's a good spin move there.
That's 4 running plays in a row, Kevin.
First down and 10. 2 receivers to the far side, 2 to the near side. Ball in the near hash moving left to right. Balestrini sends Weir in motion. Weir's got it the whole time. Weir cuts it up, and he will not get anywhere other than that original line of scrimmage before he is swarmed under by Austin Dorman in his middle linebacker spot.
Well, Duncan Weir on that inside handoff, and he ran the sweep. He tried to get some yardage inside, but he again, he came back out and he bounced to going east-west, and Midwest made him pay for it.
So the Braves now looking at a second down and 10 from the Midwest 48-yard line. Kevin Hur along with the Chief Dave Ritchie here in Middleburg. First ever meeting between the Mustangs and the Braves. Braves lead it 7-0. Handoff left side. Semko, big hole right up the middle. Powers his way through to the 40 and gets slammed down at the 37-yard line.
That's number 44, Trey Lauver, in on the tackle. But number 8 also, Christian Register, made the initial hit. But again, Semko, some hard running, Kevin.
Register coming up from his safety position. That's not the guy you want to make a tackle on a running play, though, that's for sure. Under center, wing to the far side, first and 10, and a whistle. And this one, actually, I don't know what this is. Dead ball foul, yeah. False start, yeah. Against the Braves.
That's going to move.
Oh,
him
there's
back.
The flag. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to move him back 5 yards. Register Chevrolet, Kevin. My grandfather bought his first pickup truck from them, I think, over in Thompsontown.
Yes, that is correct.
Which we're not too far from.
I'll take your word for it. First down and 15 as they march it back now to the 43-yard line. Shikalimi leading this 7-6 here in the second quarter. Chief, how much time's left in the second quarter?
Well, there have to be 6:41, Kevin. Sorry I'm not doing my job. Coach, I was watching Coach Kizer. Coach Kizer wanted an explanation of why that was a dead fall foul on the Braves that time. So, but there is 6:41. The clock's going to start right now in the second quarter.
So it's first and 15 for the Braves, and this drive into Midwest territory. Marshall goes to the far side of the field with man-to-man coverage over there. Man in motion. Here's the handoff left side, Simco. Same call they had on the first down run moments ago, but not nearly the success. That one will be stuffed at the 40-yard line. A gain of maybe 2 will bring up second down and about 13.
There's, let's see who's under Simco. That would be number 9. All right. Braden Swineford with the tackle. He's been doing a nice job. You know, we had 2 Swineford boys that played for us years ago, and their dad was from over here in Middleburg, so I would imagine that this Swineford might be some relation. That was Danny Swineford and his brother Rodney.
We'll have more family ties coming up for you later on in the broadcast. Wing to the far side of the field. Under center is Balestrini. Blitz coming. Balestrini gets away. He's rolling to the near side, running for everything he's got. Sets up. He's going to go back to the other side to Fitz. Fitz is adjusting in and out of the hands of Fitz. Good defensive play by Register, who had to adjust himself to go along with Fitzgerald. But Fitzgerald almost came down with that one anyway.
Well, they're talking to some players out there. There's been a little – we were watching that ball, but after – Balestrini threw the ball, there was a little extra curricular activity going on down here in front of the Midwest bench. So.
Like, what are you going to dress up for Halloween?
Yeah, or, hey, listen, you know, it's getting close to Christmas. Can I have your address so I can send you a card? All right. Good music.
Do they? I don't think they send cards anymore, though. But
no,
they
know.
Do IM.
They're playing Star Wars stuff now. So
yes.
This is great. I love it down here, Kevin.
It's a fun atmosphere for a high school football game, no question. Shotgun formation on this third down at about 13 from just inside the 39-yard line. Balestrini back to pass, took a hit, made a completion to Marshall. Marshall right around the 30-yard line, not enough for the first down. Had to lose a couple of yards, though, to try and break free. So it'll come up as a gain of about 9 to the 32-yard line. Had to get down to the Midwest 27. And this is definitely four down territory for
sure,
the Braves.
That ball was thrown a long way, Kevin. I mean, he was almost on the left hash, and he threw it all the way to his right over here to the sideline. Had a little zip on it. And under pressure because there were 2 guys in his face also.
How much time
we
left
got
on the clock?
4:52 left to go here in this quarter.
So time winding down before the Service Electric halftime report. Shikalimi leading at 7-6 and a timeout by the Braves. And I think this is a good timeout because I thought I saw the official start to come out and hold a hand up, which means that they were running out of time.
I think that's the first time out by either team.
That is correct. But it does give us an opportunity to tell you that tomorrow the Nittany Lions will try to bounce back with a Big Ten showdown against Ohio State. I don't think this is going to be a whiteout because I don't really know if they could paint all the seats in time.
Unless they put white garbage bags over all the seats.
That could be.
I wouldn't put it past those state college people.
Steve Jones, Jack Ham, Roger Corey have the call from Beaver Stadium Saturday night. Tailgate show at 6, kickoff at 6:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com. You can also listen on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app or do what I did last week. I got Alexa to play WKOK because I have the skill. Then I hit pause, waited for the game to catch on, waited for the radio broadcast to catch up to the TV, unpaused it, and I got Steve and Jack calling the game in real time.
Awesome, Kevin.
Nothing beats that.
You are my hero. You've been my hero with technology ever since we started doing this together 22 years ago.
That's right.
And that's pretty awesome. Have you seen the commercial Jack Ham does for one of the supplemental Medicare programs?
I have not seen that one yet.
Steve's got to do one of those, I think.
Shotgun formation, Balestrini, fourth down and about five. Back to pass, sets up, has a man on him, breaks the tackle, lobs one up, trying to adjust his Marshall. Marshall made the grab at the 10, down to the 5, inside the 5 to about the 4, and a first down for the Braves on a ball that was just kind of lobbed up there, and Marshall went to go get it.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, I think Drew just threw that up. Threw it as far as he could off balance because people were hanging on him.
And to take a chance.
And the defender came back towards, and the ball was thrown over his head, and Davis picked it up. They're down on the...
is that about the 5?
I would say they're on the 5-yard line.
Might be inside that even a little bit. Might be at the 6. It might be the 6.
Yeah.
So we'll call it at the 6, first and goal. Backs are split. Behind Balestrini, sends a man in motion. Balestrini hands it off to Simcoe. Simcoe strung out, and he is really ripped down for no gain on the play. Great tackle on the outside.
Number 16 or number 67 again in on that tackle.
Oh, Siska.
And 88, Kevin.
Yeah, that's Umstead.
Yeah, Umstead, and that was just they just wrapped him up. I mean, it looked like he was going to get some yardage, and they tackle with authority. I mean, it's not just like they're going to pull you down. They put their shoulders into them and drive.
There's some evidence that you have been tackled.
Yes.
Balestrini under center. Braves winning the time of possession right now and only leading by one. Balestrini keeps it himself, breaks a tackle, looking toward the pylon. Did he get to the pylon?
It's Knight.
Touchdown!
Schaefer Knight.
Schaefer Knight's got the ball at the last. I did not even see the handoff on the far side of the field.
Balestrini was one of the lead blockers, Kev.
I couldn't tell who had the ball.
That was the old quick pitch, and the quarterback goes and helps block.
Wow.
And Schaefer Knight took it in for the score. So
good call for the Chief and the Specs.
3:34 to go here in the second quarter. The Braves score on Schaefer Knight's 5-yard run, and that makes it 13-6, and we'll see what happens after the extra point. How's that, Kev?
That's pretty good.
All right.
You're going to take over this thing.
No, I'm not.
How much time's left?
3:34. looks like a good kick there.
Yeah, that one went over the over the soccer backstop and outside the stadium. So that time Kuntz makes the extra point a lot safer. It is 14-6. Shikalimi on top. 3:34 to go here in the half after the Schaefer Knight's touchdown. That is his first touchdown of the season from 6 yards out.
You know, he's playing that nose tackle position on defense, and then he gets a chance to run the ball. I mean, life is good for Isaac Schaefer Knights right now, Kevin.
Let's take a look at the Alexander Family Dealership scoreboard. Southern Columbia in the semifinal game in 2A, beating up on Line Mountain 28-0 in the second. Troy leads South Williamsport in the other semifinal game 18-14 in the second. And our Blaze Alexander Ford tough game of the week. Shamokin 9, Selins Grove 0. That one just down the road at Harold L. Bullock Memorial Field in the second quarter.
You know,
some other scores from around the region real quick, Chief. Lewisburg 7, Hughesville 0 in the second, and Milton and Warrior Run scoreless in the second. Don't forget, the 4A semifinal between Mifflinburg and Jersey Shore is tomorrow night at 7. The 3A semifinals are both 1 o'clock games, Athens at Danville, Loyal Sock at Montoursville.
Losing Nate Schoen on defense this week really is tough for Sealands Grove. They didn't have him in the first game against Shamokin, and that was a close game. He made a big difference in the second game.
Was that 16-0, I think?
Yeah, the offense for Shamokin has not done much scoring, and if you think about it, wasn't it 2-0 to start?
Yes.
So the defense must have gotten
another safety.
Yeah.
That was the second time that they've had a safety against Sealands Grove. And taken by one of the up men to about the 40-yard line. And we'll see who it was that comes up.
Duncan Weir was on the tackle, along with number four. That would have been the young man who transferred from Southern Columbia, Jaden McCormick.
McCormick. Oh, there's the, looks like 10?
That would have been, well.
That would have been Caden Wolfley if it is him.
That's who it was.
That 1-0 bunches close together. You can't quite see what that second number is.
To be honest with you, Kevin, I have no idea how you can see those.
Well, ask anybody. I make up most of the things I say anyway. Shotgun formation for Rochester. Bunch formation to the far side. Back to pass. Pressure's coming. It's going to be a screen pass, and it goes to Wolfley. Wolfley makes the catch and goes to the 50-yard line. Gain of 9 on that first down grab. And that was a good call and really drew Shikellamy's defense in on the left side.
Yeah, Luke Snyder in on the tackle. But, you know, you think about it, how many times people wait until third down to throw that screen. First down was excellent time to throw it, and they caught the Braves a little bit off guard.
Wilson comes to the near side. They'll go pistol formation with a offset backfield behind Register, the quarterback. He will reverse pivot, hand it off to the near side. Good hit, but still gaining 7 for a first down was the Midwest running back. Looked like that might have been Wolfley again, and it was. Yep. Well, he got stuck at the 45, but
Curtis Raker. Curtis Raker. Luke Snyder's the one that put the first hit, but Curtis Raker in on the tackle. Along with Connor Fitzgerald coming up from his safety position.
A gain of about 6 for Wolfley there. He'll go back into the pistol now and the broken eye to the other side with the running back to the right on 1st and 10 from the Shikellamy 44. Handoff. Oh, big hit.
Curtis Raker.
I'll tell you what, as soon as Wolfley got the ball, that was Lauver. As soon as Lauver got the ball, you could hear the pads hit. Man.
So Curtis Raker stopped him. He was almost at the handoff, the mesh point between the quarterback and Lauver that time, and he got his hands up. But they didn't bring him down. They stopped him, but they didn't put him on the ground. The referee blew the whistle, but good play by Curtis.
He leads the team now with 5 tackles for a loss. That one a loss of 5 back to the 49-yard line of Shikellamy. Shotgun, sidecar left. Bunch to the far side. Back to pass Register. Goes to the sideline. Wide open is right. And a catch at about the 32-yard line. And he hit Eli Swan, the leading receiver of the wide receivers, for a big game.
And Eli's dad's standing over here, so we have to make sure we say good things. He was wide open. He was between the safety and the outside backer, and actually it was Davis Marshall that came up and made the tackle.
21 yards and a first down in Shikellamy territory at the 29-yard line with about a minute 30 to go. Here's the reverse pivot. The handoff goes to, I believe, the fullback there. It looked like that was Lauver. Might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage, but I think Midwest is going to have
Wolfley
to use their first time out.
Was Wolfley? Wolfley caught it, yeah. And there's 1:28 to go here. That's probably why he's going to use the timeout. The middle of the Braves, I didn't get exactly who all made all the tackles, but it looked like it was the middle of the Braves' defense. And it was Wolfley on that, and he did a nice job of stopping him for no gain.
Loss of 1, actually, is to bring up 2nd down and 11 from the 29-yard line. Shikellamy leading this one now by a score of 14-6. Midwest getting on the board first with a 55-yard Hunter Wolfley punt return for a touchdown after the Braves' first series stalled out. And then the Braves' defense stopped Midwest and came back with a couple of scores now and have really dominated the time of possession up until this series.
You know, Kevin, I said you asked me what what Midwest had to do, and they had to be able to throw the ball. And they've completed 3 passes. One's been a screen, but the pass over the middle and, of course, that pass to Swan have been some big plays to keep their offense rolling.
And this is an offense with Register. He's got a really quick release, but he's only completed about 30% of his passes this year.
And the Midwest offensive line did a nice job of giving him a lot of time to throw that ball. Now,
there's just some big dudes up front, no question. Shotgun sidecar left, second down and 11 from the 29-yard line. Regisser takes the direct snap, quickly looks to the far side. And that tackle made immediately by Balestrini. And yeah, Drew, on the catch on the far side, that was Wilson again for a gain of about three.
Yeah, Drew was right there. He got a minute 15 going on the clock, and they call timeout again, Kevin.
We'll have one timeout remaining. Shikellamy with two timeouts left here before the Service Electric halftime report.
Looks like they picked up 2 yards. That was a real quick hitter. It almost looked like it was just the receiver took about 3 steps downfield and turned around. And you're right, that kid, Register, he does have a nice release, and it's fast.
And it's a tight spiral that he's throwing, too. So. I'm very impressed with how well he throws the ball. And it's almost, it's not really the tomahawk-type delivery. It's kind of almost a three-quarter-style delivery there.
Like Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. Wait, it's a nice comparison to make.
Mahomes throws it straight over the top, sidearm, underarm,
That's the big difference there. So they'll spot the ball here on this third down at just about the 26-yard line. It'll be third down, and we'll call it 7 from that spot.
Well, they're going to put Wolfley out with the receivers. Boy, is that unbalanced, Kevin.
You betcha. Bunch, almost a Steelers-style bunch there to the right side. Shotgun formation, Register back to pass, pressure from the backside. He works around it, lobs one up, incomplete. He had an intended receiver down in the middle of the field, but couldn't quite get the Wolfley there as he had Wolfley in the end zone.
He was open, Kevin. He had gotten in front of the Braves safeties, and that time, it was pretty lucky. A little more pressure that time put on by the Braves. We got fourth down and about 8 yards, and it's 1:09 to go here in the second quarter before the end of this half.
Well, remember, the Braves have two timeouts remaining. If they can get a stop here on fourth down, they may have a chance, and they'll get the ball to start the no, they won't. They forget that. They will not get the ball to start the second half anyway. Braves showing blitz up the middle. Pressure coming. Register has to throw it away, and it's going to be caught in the middle of the field by Lauver. He just kind of threw that one up for grabs. Lauver made the catch. He is an intended receiver there, an eligible receiver, but he goes back to losing about a yard after he got knocked off his feet, and Shikellamy will take over first and 10 at the 27-yard
line. Can I tell you who the tacklers were? With 1:01 to go here, the Braves have the ball. Schaefer, Knights, and Weir, in on the tackle, Kevin. They were right on Johnny on the spot. And, I don't even think Register looked. He just threw that ball.
Yeah, that was a low snap, and he had to do whatever he could do to to make something happen. And he was falling down when he threw it. And, he just got it away before he touches the turf.
He's probably lucky that one of the Braves didn't pick it off because there were white jerseys in the vicinity.
And I waited for a little bit to make sure it was an eligible receiver because it was right in the middle of the field. Balestrini now with the backs offset behind him. Under center, goes back, hands it off right side, Simcoe. Simcoe dragging tacklers across the 35 to the 39-yard line. It'll be first and 10 as the clock stops while the chains move with just 54 seconds remaining.
Well, Kevin, the Braves in this second quarter are going back to some of the old Shikellamy traditions of football. Yep. The Dick Purnell, Ernie Tyler, the ring T, run the ball.
Ball at the 39-yard line. They'll go right to the line of scrimmage. They'll hand it off near side. Jumping around looking for running room is Wolf. Wolf will stiff arm to the outside. Get down to the 45-yard line. He'll have a gain of about 7. We'll see if Shikellamy uses a timeout, and they don't with 38 seconds to go.
Well, Gage did a lot of that on his own, and you're right. When you said stiff arm, I think he stiff armed two guys to get around the corner.
Be a gain of 7, and Shikellamy is coming right to the line.
Now you need to call timeout. Yeah. It's 21 seconds to go here, Kevin, and there's actually probably 10 seconds went off the clock that shouldn't have.
Well, I think what happened was, and by looking at Coach Kaiser's reaction on the far sideline, he wanted the line up on the ball, and they went back to huddle because when Balestrini came in, he went right to the line, and he looked around, and nobody was there.
Something that we haven't seen the Braves do, hurry up offense like that, I don't know, Kevin.
They go through it in practice at the end of Thursday's practice.
Well, you got a two-minute drill that you got to think about. And these, the guys have to realize, there's not a lot of time here. So instead of, you know, shaking hands and high-fiving, let's get on the line.
Here's the other thing, too. Remember, there's the clock is actually on the opposite side of the field here than you would and on the left-hand side of the field, and they're going away from the clock.
That's true, so the players can't see the ball.
It's a little harder to see where the clock is and see how much time's left. Second down and four from the Shikellamy 45-yard line, leading at 14-6, you know, right before halftime.
You almost have to, you know, put the ball in the air here or else break a big run.
Well, it's you would think right now it's Marshall Weir time and Fitzgerald is the guy in the slot. All four of these guys right now, including Pfeiffer, have gotten some big catches this year, and especially here in the latter half of the season. Weir comes across. High snap. Balestrini's got to bring it down. Now he's in trouble. He's going to try and break a tackle. He's not going to be able to do it. He's going to lean ahead to the 30, but I'm not sure when the whistle blew. I think they blew him dead before the 30-yard line.
I have no idea what Drew's doing.
I think he wanted maybe a late hit with the whistle being blown early. Yep. And there's a flag.
And that's the end of the half. The flag's probably on.
It might be on Balestrini.
Balestrini.
Yeah,
for
he was jawing a little bit.
Can it end on a penalty?
Well, it's an offensive penalty. Defensive penalty. The answer would be no. So we have a dead ball, unsportsmanlike against Shikellamy, and now another flag coming very late from one of the back officials, and this one may be against Midwest. Unsportsmanlike conduct against Midwest. So that's going to offset both.
And it doesn't matter.
Because the half is over. That's a first. Can't say I've seen that before.
I haven't either, Kevin.
At the end of the first half, it is Shikellamy 14, Midwest 6 on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
It's game time, and the team at I'm the Guy Basement Systems is ready to give you a customized game plan to fix your basement's problems. Moisture, seepage, mold, those are serious problems that won't go away on their own. Let ITG help. We offer free inspections to ensure your home is dry and healthy. Visit ITGBasementSystems.com to schedule your free estimate today.
ITG Basement Systems, I'm the guy to make it dry.
No heat?
Better call McCreary.
Furnace is broke.
Better call McCreary.
Boiler not boiling?
Better call McCreary.
Heat pump tune up for winter.
Already?
Yep, already.
Better call McCreary.
Service, repair, installations. Call us because we're the best. McCreary's HVAC. Oh, and even R for refrigeration.
Better call McCreary's.
Call 570-473-8815 or on that device of yours. McCreary's HVAC Inc.com.
Better call McCreary's.
In-store, at home, or anywhere in between. Now, you decide how to buy your next car, truck, van, or SUV. Conduct the entire process online from the comfort of your home and let us deliver your new vehicle to you. Or begin the experience online and finish it in our store for a quick and easy car buying experience. With never-before-seen incentives, now is the time to buy. All backed by our lowest price guarantee. So start your online digital buying experience today at blazealexander.com. Taking deals the other guys won't.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
You'll see the world of difference at Central Vision Eye Care in the Susquehanna Valley. Conserving and improving your vision with the latest ophthalmic technology is the commitment of Dr. Daniel Facero and Dr. Tara Unsicker Facero. Central Vision Eye Care is scheduling appointments for their locations in Lewisburg, Milton, and Montoursville. Central Vision Eye Care for vision exams, medical exams, cataract surgery. Central Vision Eye Care, where patients are their focus. See us at centralvisioneyecare.com or call 570-768-4970. That's 570-768-4970.
This is the Service Electric Cablevision Halftime Report, a recap of the first half of the game and a look at scores from across the region. Now, from the stadium, here's Kevin Herr and the Chief, Dave Ritchie.
Austin Midwest as Midwest High School hosts Shikellamy for the first time here in high school football, and the Braves leading it 14-6 here in the first half of play. But it wasn't the Braves that got on the scoreboard first. It was the Mustangs. After the Braves stalled on their opening drive with 10:41 remaining in the first quarter, it was Hunter Wolfley who got into the end zone, not rushing the ball, not receiving the ball, but returning a punt 55 yards for the touchdown. The extra point was no good. It made the score 6-0 with 10:41 to go in the first quarter. The Braves were then able to muster a drive together after a couple of turnover on downs by both teams. Braves started with the ball at their own 19-yard line with 4:51 to go in the first quarter and took it all the way down to the 3-second mark before Balestrini punched it in from 6 yards out. The extra point hits the crossbar and rolls right on over. It was a good thing they used two coats of paint on that crossbar.
Well, didn't I see you up there putting a little little lard on the top of that?
Yeah, but I was afraid. You have to put it in the right spot because you put it too far forward and it slides forward. You got to put it too far backward.
Yeah, I know you want to get on my shoulders, and I said that's not happening, Kevin. I'm telling you right now.
It became 7-6 at that point, and then the Braves put one more on the board after a 70-yard drive was capped in 6 minutes. With a 6-yard Schaefer Knights touchdown, his first of the season from 6 yards out. The extra point was good, made the score 14-6, and that's where we are at the half, 14-6 in favor of the Shikellamy Braves. Chief, your thoughts before we do that, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Shikellamy Braves football.
Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online or on your mobile device at WKOK.com.
Now to continue that thought, Chief, your thoughts.
I don't know, Kevin, but they have homemade cinnamon rolls here.
I just saw that.
Yeah. All right,
and they had some nice soft pretzels
and,
too.
That the heck with it. Let's go down to the concession stand, Kevin.
No, my thoughts, that kind of intermission.
I'm impressed with Midwest. I think they got a pretty solid defense. The Braves started to punch some holes in that line, and they were able to get some yardage. When's the last time that we ran 5 running plays in a row and picked up 3 first downs?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's something that we haven't seen all year. And then the 2 passes that Balestrini made for the big gains, if you think about it, the first one to Connor Fitzgerald, that one Connor did a great job of concentrating and catching it as he was being, you know, basically hands-on by the defender. But that last one to Davis Marshall, you know, Davis actually had to come back, and the ball was thrown a little bit too high for the back, and Davis snagged it and turned around and almost got to the end zone. But this Wolfley kid, he scares me, and it's not because it's Halloween, but it's because he is a legitimate threat no matter what time of the game it is, where they're at, what he's doing.
And they'll line him up not only as a running back or a tailback, but they'll also line him up as a receiver. And because of his speed and skill, not only do you have to recognize him as a potential wide receiver threat, but it also opens it up for other players like a Lover, the fullback, to get the ball
exactly
in the middle of the field when everybody's got their focus on whoever's on, you know, with on the right or left side, wherever Wolfley is.
He reminds me a lot of a running back we had back in the early 80s in the Rodkey boy, all right, Jeff Rodkey. And also Tommy Lagerman was before that. Now, there's been a lot of running backs at Shikellamy, but they're the two that I remember that they made people miss. And once they got into the hole, they would accelerate and get by people before they got hands on them. And once they were in the open field, we're very lucky that Balestrini stretched as far as he could to trip up Wolfley on that run that he had from the 5-yard line.
Or we'd be looking at a much closer.
Well, it would either be 14-13 or 14-14. You know that.
You know, the one I was thinking of when you were talking about former Shikellamy players, Kazi Spiegelmeyer was another one that had that kind of speed.
But Kazi.
He wasn't as, I don't think he was as big as Wolfley is.
Oh, yes, he was. Kazi was as big. Kazi was a horse, I'm telling you. You're right. But you know, we read about Wolfley. You hear things, you read in the paper and that, and you just wonder. And he is good.
Seeing is a different thing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Seeing is a different thing.
It's a shame he's a senior.
Well, let's take a moment and take a timeout. And when we come back, we'll run down some of the scores from across the region and give you some of the stats. Service Electric Halftime Report continues on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Braves leading it by a score 14-6 over Midwest.
It's time to put Wi-Fi where it belongs. Everywhere. Replace your router and blanket your whole home with fast, reliable Wi-Fi powered by Plume and SECV. Plume continuously learns about your internet needs and gets better each day. Plume also brings you parental controls, guest access, ad blocking, and security protection from suspicious content and devices, all available at the touch of a button through the Plume app. Call 1-877-955-SECV or visit secv.com/plume to learn more.
I admit it, my SUV is like the messiest vehicle on the planet. I'm that car that no one wants to ride along in. Getting the inside of this baby clean was way beyond possible, I thought. Until I found Hoopy's Detailing right here in Sunbury. The owner, Mike, personally fully cleans and vacuums your car's interior, and it is spotless. He's a perfectionist and treats your car like it's a luxury vehicle, no matter how messy. Book your spot now for Hoopy's Detailing, Race Street, Sunbury. That's Hoopies Detailing. Hoopies Detailing. Find them on Facebook.
Oh, I hate this line. I'm going to be late for work. I just want a cup of good coffee. And I don't have all day to sit here waiting.
Well, good news for you. You can get fresh roasted coffee and treats at Route 11 Coffee and Cream on the Danville Highway. It's going to be the funnest, funkiest coffee shop in the valley with a drive-thru that serves you friendly and fast. So go to their Facebook page now for updates. Route 11 Coffee and Cream. On, you know, Route 11, of course, in between Norrie and Danville.
If you thought you saw the last of the double cheeseburger pizza from Papa John's, think again. Because it's back again. And now, they're debuting the sequel at a Papadia. A quarter pound of beef, zesty burger sauce and pickles, some crispy flatbread crust. Again, one more time. Get a large double cheeseburger pizza for just $12. Or a new double cheeseburger Papadia for $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Again. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
Call Papa John's in Sealands Grove at 570-743-7474.
Service Electric Halftime Report, taking a look at scores from across the region in the District 4 4A semifinal down the road from us. It's Shamokin leading Sealands Grove 9-0 at the half. Coming up tomorrow, the other semifinal game between Mifflinburg and Jersey Shore. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff now tomorrow night. The 3A semifinals will both be at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Athens, Danville, and Loyal Sock traveling to Montoursville in the Battle for the Bridge Part 2. The 2A semifinals tonight has Southern Columbia leading Line Mountain 35-0 at the half, and Troy up on South Williamsport 18-14 at the half. The single-A finals, that's only a one-game playoff, so the single-A finals will be tomorrow afternoon between Muncie and Canton. And in some of the regular season games tonight, Lewisburg 14, Hughesville nothing at the half, Milton 13, and Warrior Run nothing also at the half. When we come back, we'll give you the stats from this first half. Shikellamy leading Midwest 14-6 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
You're invited to the first annual Aaron's Trunk or Treat on October 31st from 1 to 3 p.m. in the parking lot at 1102 North High Street, Sealands Grove. It'll provide a fun, safe environment for parents or guardians to bring children in costumes to trick-or-treat and enjoy the fun of the holiday. When you arrive, be sure to sign up at the registration table for some great door prizes and up to $50 off a new agreement. Aaron's is offering 6 months same as cash and free setup and delivery. Visit Aaron's showroom the whole month of October for great clearance sales and new merchandise coming in weekly. Aaron's in Sealands Grove, we are easy, beautiful, and affordable. Stop by today.
Mark and Troy here at Zimmerman Motors. It's Jeep Adventure Days, and we're celebrating with special Jeep pricing for everyone.
We have huge discounts on every new Jeep in stock, up to $6,000 off new Jeep Cherokees to qualified individuals.
We're also discounting every new Jeep Renegade up to $7,000. Jeep Adventure Day discounts all month long, great selection, 0% financing on many Jeep models. It's going to be a fun month.
So come in and see why people have been coming from all over the region to Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Sunbury and experience what we call the Zimmerman Difference. Call 570-988-JEEP or visit us online at ZimmermanJeep.com.
Hiking, biking, rowing, running. The game is life, and you're the weekend warrior. You work hard and you play hard. Football, baseball, soccer, golf. To move is to live, and whatever your sport, Shamokin Dam Health Center specializes in total health to keep you in the game. Call 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
in-store, at home, or anywhere in between. Now, you decide how to buy your next car, truck, van, or SUV. Conduct the entire process online from the comfort of your home and let us deliver your new vehicle to you. Or begin the experience online and finish it in our store for a quick and easy car buying experience. With never-before-seen incentives, now is the time to buy. All backed by our lowest price guarantee. So start your online digital buying experience today at blazealexander.com. Taking deals the other guys won't.
It's time to put Wi-Fi where it belongs. Everywhere. Replace your router and blanket your whole home with fast, reliable Wi-Fi powered by Plume and SECV. Plume continuously learns about your internet needs and gets better each day. Plume also brings you parental controls, guest access, ad blocking, and security protection from suspicious content and devices, all available at the touch of a button through the Plume app. Call 1-877-955-SECV or visit secv.com/plume to learn more.
Halftime here at Middleburg as the Braves lead the Mustangs by a score of 14-6. Shikalimi with 134 yards receiving in that first half as Balistrini 50%, 5 of 10, 134, no interceptions, no touchdowns. Marshall with two grabs for 35, Fitzgerald with a catch for 41, Weir that 51-yarder that set up a Braves score, and Simcoe a catch for 7. On the ground, Braves have two touchdowns. 25 carries, 78 yards rushing, 58 of those coming from Colton Simcoe with 9 carries for 58 yards. Schaefer Knights, the other touchdown, 3 carries for 21. Braves have no turnovers, and they are 2 for 15 in penalties, including a 15-yard penalty to end the first half. They have 10 first downs and 212 yards total offense. For the Mustangs, Wolfley already with 80 yards on the ground, and that doesn't even count as all-purpose yards with 7 carries. He has 80 of the net 61 for the Mustangs tonight. Register an impressive 5 of 6, a very efficient 5 of 6, but only 39 yards in receiving. Swan with 21 of those on one catch. Wilson with 2 catches for 10. 39 yards receiving. 30 and 61 yards on the ground. That's a total of 100 yards offense, 3 first downs for the Mustangs, no turnovers, 1 penalty for 15 yards. That was the one to end the first half that ended up being a dual penalty now and offsetting penalties. So that's how we ended the first half. So Midwest has made their appearance. Shikalimi also now making their appearance on the field. It is Shikalimi leading by a score of 14-7 here as we wrap up the Service Electric Halftime Report. Midwest to receive the kickoff next.
This has been the Service Electric Cablevision Halftime Report. The second half kickoff is coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello, we're the Sub-6, John and Tracy, owners of Carpet Man in Milton.
For 4 years now, our family has been raising money to help fight breast cancer.
We care so much because we know how hard the battle is. I'm a proud survivor of breast cancer, and that's why we're raising money for the Thyra Humphrey Center for Breast Health at Evangelical Community Hospital.
For each and every flooring sale in October, Carpet Man will make a donation to the hospital.
These are tough times, but Carpet Man is committed to make a difference.
We hope to see you soon here at Carpet Man.
In difficult times, our thoughts center on protecting and providing for our families. A well-thought-out estate plan is essential to that goal. The Schock Law Office in Selinge Grove will help tailor a plan and documents to help you meet your individual needs and goals. If you care for a loved one who is elderly or has special needs, the Schock Law Office can prepare a plan that helps protect their assets and their access to public benefit programs. Call the Schock Law Office at 570-492-7133 to schedule an in-person or remote appointment to discuss your plan. Or find them on the web at schocklaw.com.
You'll see the world of difference at Central Vision Eye Care in the Susquehanna Valley. Conserving and improving your vision with the latest ophthalmic technology is the commitment of Dr. Daniel Facero and Dr. Tara Unsicker-Facero. Central Vision Eye Care is scheduling appointments for their locations in Lewisburg, Milton, and Montoursville. Central Vision Eye Care for vision exams, medical exams, cataract surgery. Central Vision Eye Care, where patients are their focus. See us at centralvisioneyecare.com or call 570-768-4970. That's 570-768-4970. 4970.
Full moon tonight here in Middleburg. Although you can't see it now because a few clouds have popped in. Is it there? Oh, yeah, there it is. It's still there. All right. I was going to say, I looked up earlier and there were a few more clouds obscuring that full moon. You've got COVID. You've got an election coming up. You've got a full moon, Halloween. This is going to be one weird weekend, isn't it?
When I was a kid, I used to go over to my uncle's farm on the full moon in October.
And
you'd always, that's when you start to harvest corn. So that's back before they had these humongous corn pickers, but you had a single row corn picker. We used to have to do the ends. You husk the ends, so it was a little bit easier to run the rows the rest of the time. So,
well, driving around today, I saw a squirrel that had a full ear of corn, I'm thinking, wow, that's a good day for a squirrel.
That's a big squirrel, Kevin.
That's a good, no, not the whole stalk, ear of corn.
But that's still a lot.
That's a good day if you're a squirrel.
It's a good week.
Wonder where that one got buried.
He might have just had a smorgasbord.
right before nap.
Exactly.
It's like my lunch, right, and then take a nap right afterwards. 14-6 here at the half. Don't forget Penn State football coming up tomorrow night. The Nittany Lions taking on Ohio State. That game will get underway at 7:30. Steve, Jack, and Roger from Beaver Stadium with the Tailgate Show at 6. And if you're an Eagles fan, it's Sunday Night Football on Eagle 107. Maryland Mike have the call beginning at 7 from the link. Kickoff at 8:20 on Eagle 107. And the Steelers trying to stay unbeaten and take control in the AFC North as they head to the Inner Harbor to visit the Ravens. Coverage on 100.9 The Valley is at 11. Kickoff after 1 with Bill Hillgrove, Tun Chilkin, Greg Wolfley, and Missy Michaels. That's on your home for Steelers football, 100.9 The Valley. There you have it. That's the weekend in sports for you.
And, folks, how Kevin will be at work next week all depends on that game that's going to happen in Inner Harbor.
I don't. Somebody asked me, which is worse, losing to the Browns or the Ravens? I said, I'd have to think about that. It's a really tough one. I hope when the Browns play the Ravens, it becomes a scoreless tie. I said, that's what I root for in that game. So Bray's ready to boot the ball away. And that one will head to about the 20-yard line, taken out there at the 25 to the 30. And it looks like it might be Wolfley at the 35-yard line that picks it up. And I think that is where Midwest will take over.
And that would have been Schaefer Knights, I believe, on the tackle. Kevin, he's the one that got to Wolfley first.
So the Braves will be on defense here.
It'd be interesting to see if any adjustments were made by Midwest. But, they've done something that we didn't think they were going to be able to do. They've passed well against the Braves.
Well, they'll have the ball right now, and under center it is going to be Register. Register will hand it off to Wolfley. Wolfley makes a man miss, and then the second man will stop him right about the 40-yard line, but not before a gain of about 5 on first down.
Well, he was stopped by Davis Marshall, but Davis Marshall grabbed him by the waist as he went by. So, he picked up another 2 yards. he'll run through that many times too, Kevin. You got to get his shoulder into him.
Ball spotted at the 42-yard line. I have to go to the 47 for a first down, 2nd and 5. Pistol formation. Backs are offset to the left. Pitch goes to the near side, and that's Wolfley again. They'll come to the 45-yard line, and flags fly late from the referee in the backfield after a gain of about 3, bringing up a 3rd down and 2 potentially. Nice. Remember, we had offsetting penalties to end the first half. Yeah. Offsetting unsportsmanlike penalties. And this one's going to be a hold against the Midwest Mustangs.
This is a nice job by the entire right side. Curtis Raker out there helping with the tackle along with Colton Simcoe, and Connor Fitzgerald came up from the safety position. And they did a pretty good job of stopping Wolfley. But what stopped the offense has been the hold here. That's going to push the ball back. Kevin.
And, that hold was kind of behind Wolfley, which makes it worse.
Well, the man that threw the hold was pretty far away from the entire play.
Well, it was the referee who's in the backfield behind the quarterback even. So 2nd down and 16, maybe 17 at the 31-yard line. Actually 16. Under center is Register. He will hand the ball off, hopefully finding some room to the near side. He will get short of the 40-yard line to the 39. So that'll bring up a 3rd down and 8 for Midwest after the gain of eight.
He made up the penalty, Kevin.
Yeah, he cut it in half.
Simcoe with the initial hit, and then looks like Connor Fitzgerald from his defensive back position came up.
Big third down for the Mustangs right here. They want to get back into this one.
It's manageable, Kevin. It's like
very
third,
much
and,
so.
Third and eight.
And this is, I'm pretty sure this is going to be four down territory, I would think, even though it's close, even though you're on your own side of the 50. Shotgun formation. Back to pass, Register. Pressure coming from the backside. He got it! He fumbled the ball! Midwest hopped on it, but he got decked by Simcoe with a big-time lick. And I'll tell you, Register had it from the blind side. He never saw that one coming.
That's a good movie, too.
The blind side?
Yeah, and that's why they call it that, because that's the tackle's job to keep the quarterback from getting hit from his blind side. Colt Simcoe just got free release on that. He had no responsibilities, and he just ran him down.
Loss of five now will bring up a fourth down and 14 and a punting situation for the Mustangs. I think this is this their first? No, this is
no,
their second
punt.
Rugby-style punt by Swan. Not a bad one either. And taking it on the run and diving to get it, a very dangerous return by Balestrini. He'll pick it up at the 37-38-yard line. I mean, the good part about that is he didn't give up any extra yardage.
No, but he scared
part,
the heck out of us,
The
Kevin.
Bad part is if you don't get that, that is going to be a free ball for the Mustangs and a touchdown because nobody's going to catch it. Nobody's going to catch them.
You know, Drew's always been the kind of guy that you expect the unexpected from. And
He is a gunslinger on that one, that's for sure.
He's been one of the Maverick brothers. All right.
Over to the far side is Marshall. Wing to the near side. Braves in the true wing, moving left to right. Send a man in motion to the near side. It's Wolf. Here's the handoff, Simcoe. Simcoe, he is drugged down immediately. Got to the 35-yard line and then ripped down by Sawyer Hornsberger, one of the guys on that tackle.
Well, 58, Kevin. Was that Hornsberger?
It was indeed.
And 88. Okay. And then
that's
going to
be Umstead, the linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Well, they tried to run the sweep. They flooded everybody to where the guards were pulling and just bottled up that lane. He had no place to go.
Second down and 12 from the 34, make that the 36-yard line of Midwest. On the near hash, moving left to right. Balestrini sends a man in motion. It's Fitzgerald right in front of him. He'll get the direct snap, go to the opposite way. Now he's got to cut it up the middle of the field to the 40-yard line, to the 41. And he is slapped down at just beyond the 40-yard line. We'll bring up a third down and seven.
Landon Lauver on the tackle, Kevin.
Third down and seven now after the gain of five on that second down carry by Balestrini.
Did that appear to be run all the way, Kev?
I think it almost, was, yeah.
It was almost like it was going to be a quarterback draw.
I think it was going to be a quarterback sweep is what it
and
it decided
turned,
to cut
to turn
it up
it
early.
Inside, yeah.
Marshall and Weir to the near side. In the slot to the far side's Fitzgerald, and wider yet is going to be Pfeiffer. Fitzgerald coming to the near side, trips to the near side. They're going to swing it out to Simcoe. Boy, that ball was almost tipped and taken the other way. Simcoe comes up with the first down and gets to the midfield stripe. What a great effort on that little swing pass to Simcoe out of the backfield. But again, Midwest read it well and almost had a pick six.
Well, they had a man out there that had an angle on Colton, and he did a nice little stutter step, almost like they do in basketball, and he ended up getting around him, and that allowed him to get that first down.
Tell you what, there's going to be a lot of opportunities here for the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game as we reach the third quarter mark with some time left, Chief.
Exactly.
How much time left, actually?
Well, I'm sorry, but it looked like they were going to come back. 7:42 left to go here in the third quarter.
My angle, I cannot see the clock, so it's up to the Chief today.
Ooh.
And getting bounced around in the backfield, there is Schaefer Knight. Schaefer Knight's happy to get to the line of scrimmage and a yard. And I'll tell you what, he went about 15 to get one.
Well, he was having trouble. He had people hanging on him about 5 yards deep in the backfield. And once he turned it up, he turned up pretty fast and hard, but he only picked up about a yard.
I have an official's timeout for something.
Penalty?
I don't know. Well, there is a holding penalty
against the Braves.
You are right. And it's tough to see where the near official throws because of the level here. The stands don't go very high, so we're really just not too far above the players' heads.
Story and a half.
But I can't really see when that near official throws a flag.
You're right. Well, anyway, it puts the Braves first and 20.
And it's basically a penalty right from the line of scrimmage. So it is going to be first and 20 from the 39-yard line. Marshall to the far side, Wing to the far side. They're going to fake the pitch, and now it's going to be a bootleg. And coming out to the far side is Balestrini, and he will get a flag fly against on a what might be a horse collar tackle, but it was definitely a high tackle.
Was there a flag?
I think there's a flag on the far side of the field, and if this isn't a horse collar, it's definitely on the helmet.
Yeah.
Because it was a very high tackle.
Here we go, Kevin.
Personal foul, face mask. All right. I knew it was around the helmet area, and that's going to be the 15-yard variety, and that should be enough for a Shikellamy first down, as that should spot it at about the 40-yard line.
Well, Kevin,
and actually, it's going to be about a yard short of the first down marker.
Kevin, the Braves. I'm looking at penalties here. The Braves. Midwest has had 30 penalties for 289 yards. They were very similar as far as the number of penalties each team has had.
Two receivers near side, two to the far side. Ball on the far hash mark, moving left to right. We're in motion. Play fake to him. Balestrini running all the way. Balestrini coming to the near side to the 40. Slides down and then goes down to about the 38-yard line. It'll be good enough for a first down, and that'll move the chains for a first and 10.
Well, that brings it down to 6:55 here in the third quarter, and the Braves again with ball control picking up some first downs.
And they got the Midwest Mustang first drive stalled and then received the punt and have just, like you said, melted some clock here.
And the only pass that they've thrown, and this has been that flare pass or swing pass out to Semko to pick up the very first down.
When we get this next play, we'll give you an update on the Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week. And under center is Balestrini. Sends Schaefer Knights in motion, the wing. Left side, Simco. Simco goes nowhere. He'll lose a couple of yards back to the 40-yard line. And on the Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week, it is Shamokin 9, Selinsgrove nothing in the third.
Big old Larry Sisco in there making the tackle. We called his name a couple of times tonight, Kevin. He's a pretty powerful defensive lineman.
Came in the game with 21 tackles, and I think he's had about 10 tonight.
He's had quite a few. He's been in on a lot of tackles.
Second down and 11 for the Braves at the 39-yard line of Midwest. Balestrini under center with a wing to the near side. Schaefer Knights in motion to the far side. The handoff goes to Wolf, and Midwest sniffing that out. There were so many black shirts in the backfield, you couldn't even see a white jersey.
Oh, 88 again from his linebacker spot was in there too, Kevin. But the thing they tried to run a counter play, and this is a good position in the field to run it, but Midwest defense was all over it.
Third down after the loss of two. Third down and about 12, 13 from the Midwest 40-yard line.
Just about 5 minutes left in this quarter.
They'll go four quicks once again. Shotgun sidecar left. Balestrini in the middle of the field. Gets the direct snap, a high one, but he controls it. Looking deep, has plenty of time. Rolls to the near side. Now he's going to put one up. He's got a man open. Touchdown, Shikellamy! Weir with the grab, wide open in the end zone. But wait, there's a whistle for a flag.
It's going to be holding.
And this one's coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It would have been a 41-yard touchdown pass to Weir, and it gets negated.
Yep, and it's going to be a penalty that's going to make it probably third and 25, Kevin.
That's a 50-yard penalty, in essence, and a six-point penalty, too. So now this is going to put it all the way back into Shikellamy territory at the 44-yard line. They have to get to the Midwest 28 for a first down. That is now third down and yikes.
Yeah, we're under 5 minutes, 4:54 to go in the third quarter. You know, we've been Drew's been having a little trouble with the snaps. They've been high on several occasions, and that's not good when you're trying to dodge a lot of people.
Third and 27 now for the Braves. Balestrini with a direct snap on this third down and a whole bunch. He's going to try and get a whole bunch. He's got a man open. It's Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer's got it at the 10 and down inside the 10 to the 8-yard line. But there's another flag, this one in the backfield.
Well, the way the Midwest player is reacting by putting his hands out, I would imagine it might be against the Mustangs this time, but we'll have to wait and see. That's the play they ran last week twice. And he hit Pfeiffer on that fly down the left side.
That's 54 yards unofficially on that grab.
Well, now we have to see what the penalty is.
We're already looking at third down and 27. Let's see. Personal foul against Shikellamy and against Midwest. So that is going to be offsetting, and that nullifies the play because it was during the play. It was not a dead ball foul. So we have offsetting penalties. Wow. So that should, because it was during the play.
Well, it's going to be third down again.
Third down once again.
Yeah. It happened. I don't know if it was a back and a defense. A defensive back, or if it was the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman.
There was a scuffle, nevertheless, so the ball comes back now to the near hash mark at the 44-yard line, and that is 90 yards that the Braves have lost on this drive.
Well, 90 yards that Drew Balestrini loses on his his passing yards.
And I'll tell you what, he laid that one right on the money. There was really good coverage on Pfeiffer, and he hit him right in stride. It dropped right down between the 8 and the 4. Couldn't have asked for a better pass there. So back to 3rd and 27 yet again. Balestrini with a shotgun sidecar right. Back to pass. They've converted twice but missed it on penalty. Now they're going to swing it out, and that one is tipped. And a late flag coming again. And a great defensive play by Hartman hitting the Simcoe when he tried to catch that one.
This is going to be another personal foul.
But let's see what this one ends up being. This is going to be a personal foul, roughing the passer against Midwest, and that's an automatic first down, I believe.
I don't know if it is in high school.
I'll tell you what, Coach Hatter is livid right now. He's walking down the other side of the field to avoid looking at the official right now. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't see it.
Well, we watched the play.
I'm watching the hit.
Drew threw that ball, and I thought he they were right on top of him.
But I thought a personal foul was an automatic first down.
It wasn't Kevin, we talked about this in the last game. So
let's see where we are. Here's the official. It is going to be personal foul, roughing the passer against Midwest.
But it's still going to
be. But it's still fourth down.
Is it third or fourth down? It's fourth down.
It's fourth down.
It was after the play. Nope. It was third down before this. We've got 4:39 to go.
Shotgun Balestrini on this fourth down and about 13. Has to come to the near side. He's at the 40, to the 35. He's going to be inside the 30 and to get to the 28. I think he's got the first down by a gain of 14.
Well, we're going to have to see where they mark it, Kevin.
I don't see any flag this time.
Well, the defense is coming on, I thought.
I don't think so. He's got that.
First down.
We'll spot it at the 27-yard line. First and 10 at the 27.
4:30, Kevin. You know, the last 29 seconds have taken forever.
Taken 29
right?
minutes.
We've had a long pass, two penalties, another play, a short pass, another penalty, and a run for the first down in 29 seconds.
I'm going to have to get out my National Federation of High School rule book again and check some of these. I'm still pretty sure.
Do you have one of those?
I used to have one, yes. Man in motion to the backfield. It's going to be a pitch to Schaefer Knights. He was the motion man, and he has no blocking help at all and makes one man miss and then gets wrestled down at the 30 for a loss of three. And Then a little bit of scuffle on the tackle, too.
Kevin, that's that same sweep where the quarterback helps the lead around the left side. But they all ran past the people that were coming from the inside that were going to tackle Schaefer Knights. And somebody's got to pick them up.
Let's get you another update on the Alexander Family Dealership out-of-town scoreboard. Southern Columbia 35, Line Mountain nothing in the third. Hughesville trailing Lewisburg 14-13 in the third. Under center, Balestrini on the second down and 12. Back to pass, five-step drop. Looking back to the corner of the end zone, he's got Pfeiffer at about the two-yard line, and he made the catch with a foot in bounds.
I'll tell you, John Pfeiffer is one of the best, got a pair of the best hands that I've ever seen. There's people on, but the concentration on that young man is unbelievable. And that was a fade pattern, but it wasn't to the end zone, all right? It was to, like, the five-yard line.
If that was a fade pattern to the pylon,
yeah, it'd been a touchdown.
He would have been six, yeah?
Yeah.
So that ball will be spotted at,
it looks like,
the three-yard line, I believe.
I think that's where they're at, Kevin. And we've got 3:36 to go here.
Braves trying to take a commanding lead here, leading by a score of 14-6. Balestrini under center. He will hand it off right side. Simcoe tackled immediately. Great defensive play by Landon Lauver, the defensive end who comes up and just trips him up.
Well, he crashed. I mean, that's his job. He read that very well. He saw the handoff, and he just stepped down into the hole and hit Simcoe before he even had a chance to get to the line of scrimmage.
I think he might have lost a yard to about the four, so that'll bring up second down and goal from the four-yard line. They'll send Pfeiffer out to the far side of the field. Backs are going to be split behind Balestrini. This might be a belly play coming here. And nope, it's going to be right up the gut. It's going to be right through the belly of Balestrini. He got stacked up at the line of scrimmage, lifted him up in the air. They put him forward into the end zone. And they're going to call him short by about a yard.
Why don't they blow the whistle dead when they have
that? Should have been whistled a while ago.
That's just ridiculous. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be about the 1 yard line. It would appear, third down and goal from. I think it's the one. I can't tell.
I thought he was in the mosh pit at a rock concert. They had almost had him up on their shoulders.
He was literally being carried. In toward the end zone. It was, I've never seen anything like it. It's different. Third down and goal. Balestrini under center. Will he try the same thing again? Sends Schaefer Knights in motion. No, it's going to be Balestrini on the rollout. He's looking for the pylon. He's going to go to the pylon. Touchdown, Shekalemi! Balestrini off the left side. He saw pylon, went right for that orange soft cone in the corner.
They did a nice job to get in the corner, but again, Balestrini's speed got him the pylon.
Most definitely.
Well, that puts it with 2:11 to go here in the third quarter. The Braves up 20-6 with that touchdown run by Balestrini. And again, Duncan, we're holding the ball.
Kuntz the extra point. And it will be on the snap of Fitzgerald. He's 2 for 2 tonight, including one that shaved the crossbar. That sets down. The kick is up through the block and good. And now we're going to have a roughing the kicker call. As Midwest came through and had a chance to block it, but went right through the ball and right through Kuntz, the kicker. You know, Kuntz is normally a soccer player. He's not used to contact like that, but he took it well.
Well, you know what, Kevin? You know, when you're trying to block a kick, they tell you you should be in front, at an angle, and you know, how do you tell a big lineman when he's coming right
when
up the middle?
When you got a freebie.
Yeah, okay.
That's true.
Okay, so I never fault the kids when they do that. So
I was a lineman. First off, that never happened for me. But if it
would have
happened.
You never got to the line
of
scrimmage.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it would have happened for me, I would have done the same exact thing.
I got you.
Because if I didn't block the ball, I was going to get a roughing, one of the two. And I think that'll be assessed on the kickoff.
Yeah,
so
it should be.
With 2:11 remaining in the third quarter, it is Shikalmi 21.
Kevin, that had to be the longest minute and 27 seconds of our lives.
You're right.
Or at least when we're doing a football game. If somebody would ask me to go back and tell you what happened in the last 2 minutes, I don't think I could get it all straight.
I think you're right. Balestrini with his second touchdown of the evening, and that is his sixth on the ground this year. So this one is going to be kicked off from the Midwest 45-yard line. And here's where they're going to march it off. And this is one of those things that if this game were closer, you might consider, you know, squibbing it and trying to get a surprise onside. But at this point, with the lead that Chickalamy has, they're going to want to try and have Kuntz put it as far deep into the end zone as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll set up right in the middle of the field at the 45-yard line of Midwest. And Braves are lined up, ready to boot this one away. And Kuntz will set up, and he will pop this one up, trying to keep it away, obviously, from Wolfley. Taken on the far side of the field to about the 17-yard line. I thought that was that Register over there? It looked like an 8, but I couldn't quite see it.
I wasn't sure, Kevin. I didn't know who it was. It was
Wolfley.
Younger Wolfley boy.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You didn't have the specs on. I was counting on you. Let me down.
Too much going on.
This has been an unusual game.
Yeah. At least it's kept us interested.
Well, the ball will be spotted just short of the 20-yard line. It'll be first and 10. We'll call it at the 20. Midwest trailing it now 21-6. Their only touchdown, a Hunter Wolfley 55-yard punt return on their first touch of the football. After the Braves punted it away after their first series. Shotgun formation for Register. He'll get the ball, pitch it to the far side, and he'll throw the ball, and it'll be complete at the 30-yard line. And Wolfley, the receiver to Swan.
Yeah,
Wolfley to Swan.
Eli Swan with his second catch.
That is Wolfley's first pass of the season.
Little halfback option. Well, that gets him a little bit of yardage there. Gets a first down.
11 yards on that pass from Wolfley to Swan.
He actually had to step up.
Yeah.
Because somebody's about to tackle him.
Under center Register. He will hand the ball off. Coming to the near side, the running back swarmed under by Weir.
Duncan Weir, an unassisted tackle from his middle linebacker position, ran him down.
And that one was Lauver, the fullback that time, as no gain on the play. And mentioned earlier that Duncan Weir was 13th last week in max preps in total tackles defensively in the state of Pennsylvania, moved up to 10 after last week's game against Milton. He'll have a few more tonight to maybe move up a few more notches in the state. Register, and he'll take the ball, come back, pressure coming, Register hit again. That one was an incomplete pass, but he got hammered again from the blind side by Simcoe. Yep. And Register's feeling that one.
Kevin, that was Wolfley ran that pass instead of that Weird tackled him, all right? That kid wasn't as big as Lauver, so.
I swore it said 44. But then again, I have a tendency to hallucinate things, so. Maybe that's what it was. Third down. Is that a 3 out there? Is that third down?
Yeah, that's third down.
Okay.
Third down and 10.
Third down and 10 from the 30-yard line. Three receivers far side of the field. This time it's going to be Lauver, the lone back, the sidecar and the shotgun to Register to the left. Register just took a shot, got a low snap, comes back to pass. He's going to throw a screen to the middle of the field. Read perfectly by Gage Wolf. Wolf, the Sam linebacker, takes down that potential screen play to Hunter Wolfley, and that one goes for about a yard to bring up fourth down and 9.
Down to 53 seconds here in this quarter.
I'm sorry, I said he was the Sam. He's the Wolf linebacker. He's the Will linebacker.
Well, he's to the left of Duncan Weir.
Weir's the Mike, yep. And here comes the punt by Swan. He'll rugby it out to the right side. There might have been a hand on that one because that one just kind of went straight up in the air. And it hits at about the 45, rolls to the 49 of Chickalamy. So it'll be just into Shikellamy territory, first and 10 with
21 seconds to go here in the third quarter.
Thank you very much, Chief. 21-6. And that is the score right now with Shikellamy with the ball at the 49-yard line. Braves trying to improve to 3-4 on the season. Remember, there will be a game next week if Mifflinburg loses next or tomorrow night to Jersey Shore. That game now moved to tomorrow night, and that would be at 7 o'clock at Thompson Street Stadium.
Boy, I'm glad we didn't have to go up there again, Kevin.
Oh, you and me both. Two receivers each way, spread formation, and in the shotgun with a sidecar left is Balestrini. Balestrini directing traffic here with the blocking, gets the direct snap, back to pass, some pressure, steps up, fires it long downfield, looking for Pfeiffer, and he's got Pfeiffer, and he couldn't hang on. Good defensive play at the very last second. It appeared it was Register on the defensive play because Pfeiffer again had the ball dropping right between the 8 and the 4.
Drew Balestrini put it right where he needed it, and that was an unusual drop by John Pfeiffer. This should be the 12 seconds left here in the third quarter.
I think the defense there, the defensive play there, made all the difference because that one would have been 6 otherwise. Shotgun formation on second down and 10 from the 49-yard line. Weir in motion, the give to Weir. Weir will get a blocker, turn the corner to the 50. And we'll get to the 46-yard line, and that
nice
is
run.
Where the stoppage will be, and bring up a third down about 6 when we return to start the fourth quarter of play. After the first three, it is Shikellamy 21, Midwest 6. You're listening to Braves Football on WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Wow, what a year, huh? Life has changed for everybody, but what if this was a year that really changed your life for the better? It can be, and it begins at Lackawanna College Sunbury Center. We can help you get the education you need for the future you want right here close to home. At Lackawanna, you can choose from a variety of degree programs and fields where your skills will be in demand. An associate degree, or pursue your bachelor's. Lackawanna is the smart place to start. They say hindsight is 20/20. Look back on 2020 as the year you made it happen. This is life-changing. This is Lackawanna College.
Blaze Alexander Ford Route 45 in Lewisburg is the lowest price guaranteed, period. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, you're always going to find the lowest price at Blaze Alexander Ford. Check out all our inventory at blazealexanderford.com. And we have one of the largest selections in the state of Pennsylvania on new Fords and pre-owned vehicles. Don't make a $1,000 mistake. Make the drive to Route 45 in Lewisburg, where you're always going to get the most for your trade and the lowest price guaranteed. Blaze Alexander Ford Route 45 in Lewisburg, taking the deals the other guys.
One night before Halloween, and it has been kind of one of those full moon kind of nights here in Midwest, but the Braves with a third down and 4 from the 46-yard line of Midwest. Weir in motion in the shotgun. Play fake. Balestrini rolling out to the far side. He will wave traffic go. He will go deep for Marshall. Marshall is going to be in trouble. It's going to be picked. And Register coming back with it. Flag flies. Register to the 20. Outside to the 30. To the 35. Pushed out of bounds at the 40-yard line. But this is going to be pass interference. And I'm not sure which way this goes, to be quite honest. They were both kind of fighting with themselves.
Davis Marshall ended up on his back, but do you think it's going to be pass interference, Kevin?
I do. I just don't know which way.
Pass interference
against Shikellamy. The offense.
Yeah,
I do. I don't disagree with it either way. No. I mean, I thought it was pass interference by the offense, and is it defensive holding as well? No. Now I'm confused. All right, we have pass interference against Midwest. So, okay, it is against Midwest for not letting the receiver come back to the ball. And I thought that might be the call.
But they're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Gee whiz. This shades of... It is Halloween.
It is definitely Halloween. I'll tell you what. I thought that pass interference honestly could go either way. And the real question you have to ask is, You know, yeah. If Marshall had the chance to get back to the ball, and Marshall made initial contact with the defender. So, again,
we have a timeout here, Kevin. 11:41 to go. I think Midwest called a timeout.
Yeah, I think Coach Hatter wants to calm everybody down and hit the reset button here a little bit, and that'll give us an opportunity to run down some of the scores we have on the Alexander Family Dealership Out of Town scoreboard. It is Lewisburg 14, Hughesville nothing. That in the fourth on 100.9 The Valley. In the third, Milton shutting out Warrior Run 13-0. Taking a look at the playoff games going on tonight. In the AA semifinals, it's Southern Columbia 49, Line Mountain 7 in the fourth. South Williamsport is now answered back with a good third quarter, 28-18. That scored 14 points in the third quarter to now take a 10-point lead over Troy. And Muncie-Canton will be the single-A final tomorrow afternoon. Also tomorrow afternoon, the 3A semis, including Athens at Danville at 1 and Loyalsock and Montoursville at 1. And then tomorrow night, the 4A semifinal, Mifflinburg at Jersey Shore at 7. We'll give you our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week score. It is Shamokin 9, Selins Grove nothing in the final stanza in Selins Grove.
Sounds like a safety and a touchdown and an extra point.
You are correct, correct, and correct.
We know it wasn't three field goals because it was 2-0 to start the score.
Yes, because of that double off the wall in the second inning. Backs are split now, and a new quarterback for the Braves now. This one is going to be Wortman. Wortman will hand the ball off, and this time off the right side, Gage Wolf with some running room. And that will be a gain of 6. So it must have been Shikalimi that took the timeout to make some changes offensively.
Yeah, it sounds that way, Kevin. And Gage Wolf with a nice run, you know, picks up half the distance for the first down. Okay, gets 5 yards, ran the sweep to the right side. 11-16 here in the third quarter.
Second down and 5 from the 26-yard line. And backs are now going to be split behind Wortman again. Wortman, 1 of 3 this year, 11 yards, 1 carry, 1 yard offense. And that ball is out on the ground. And Shikalimi may have just barely got on that one. I don't think Semko even had that one when Wortman pulled away. And hopping on that ball at the last second for the Braves. Is that Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald. You know, Kevin, you run reps, and sometimes your second team quarterback doesn't get a lot of time, you know, running plays. But still, this time of the season, that should be a pretty.
Well, he's usually playing scout team.
Yeah.
You know, wing formation to the near side. It'll be third down and 5 from about the 35 or a 25 of Midwest. Here's the run off the left side for Wolf. Wolf will come down to the line of scrimmage, maybe get an extra yard. So it'll be fourth down and 4. And the clock winding with 10:09 to go here in the final stanza. 21-6, Shikalimi leading Midwest.
Not quite sure why. I don't think Drew Balestrini got hurt on that last throw. But maybe he just wants to get a little time here for the quarterback.
Wortman, the junior. Of course, Balestrini is senior. They'll go unbalanced with a wing to the far side on this fourth down play. Midwest bringing everybody. Here's the handoff to Wolf. Wolf finds some running room. Did he find enough running room to get the first down? It's really close. He had to get to about the 20-yard line.
He got it.
And he got the first down carry of 4. Wow.
That's
great blocking up front.
That series right there was Gage Wolf's. All right, he ran all 3 of the plays, 2 to the right and 1 to the left. Just nothing more than sweeps. And you notice what he did every time. He turned it up inside.
Turned it inside, yeah. Wortman now with the 1st and 10 inside the red zone at the 20-yard line as the Braves move right to left here in this final quarter of play.
You know, I said one of the. Well, I'll tell you after this play, Kevin.
Backs are split behind Wortman. Wortman, the new quarterback for the Braves here in this part of the series. Long count. Trying to eat some more clock up. Hand off right side, Wolf. Wolf spins, or slides, I should say, as he hits the 20 to the 18-yard line.
One of the things when we had the high school football corner on the Steve Jones show, Steve asked what Shikalimi needed to do, and I said one thing was keep the ball out of the hands of the Midwest offense, and they've done that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they ran many plays at all this second
half. No, they've definitely dominated the time of possession in the entire game, especially in that second quarter. Stat that we don't necessarily have, but the Braves have to be at least at three quarters of where they of the game now with the ball in their possession. Balestrini, or make that Wertmann under center now. Second down and eight from about the 18. Handoff near side. Nothing doing there at all. Quickly there to make the tackle for number the Mustangs nine. Is going to be number nine. That's going to be Braden Swineford, the senior.
Well, it's obvious with 8:10 to go here that Coach Kaiser's running as much time off the clock as possible.
You betcha.
He's using the full 25-second clock, all right, for each one of the plays. That time,
Wolf had nothing there at all.
In fact, he lost 3 yards.
He had to adjust his helmet because I think he was looking at his ear hole. Third down and 14 from about the 23-yard line. Wertmann under center with back split and offset behind him. Long count. Handoff, left side. And, you know, for a minute there, I thought that Simcoe lost that ball and had to catch it on his waist, but he tucked it away and picked up about four, bringing up a fourth down and seven.
That's a little fullback play. You come back to the weak side. Usually have a back that takes the linebacker. You get a cross block up front, and the fullback takes it off that side.
Balestrini is back in at quarterback. Balestrini looking at a fourth down and eight for about the 18-yard line. I have to get to the 10 for a first down. He'll come up, wait for the official to signal that there's about 5 seconds left on the play clock. No play clock here in Midwest. It's all in the official. Balestrini inside handoff. Here comes Schaefer Knights in the corner. He's running to the 10 to the 5, and he's in for the touchdown.
Scissors play, Kevin. One of the best places to do that is inside the 25-yard line. Balestrini looked like he was going to sweep to the right, and Knights is coming back the opposite way, takes the handoff, and there was nobody out here, folks, not a soul. The entire Midwest defense, including the backs, had gone to the right, gone to the left, and great run. Good for, I think that's his first touchdown, isn't it?
That's his second of the night.
Oh, second of the night. So he's got two here tonight,
and his second for the year for the sophomore. Schaefer on a really well played, well blocked, and a good timing call. Here comes Koontz for the extra point. Snaps down. The kick is up high enough, long enough, and it is
no good.
Missed it to the left.
6:42 to go, folks.
Is that his first miss from an extra point?
Well, no, there was one blocked or missed.
Oh, that,
remember, it was 41-0 against Milton.
Correct, yep.
There was one. They were 5-for-6. This time they're 3-for-4.
27-6, Shikellamy leading it now with 6:30 to go.
Yeah. That's how you draw that play up. I mean,
you know what? They've run Balestrini so many times off the left. The entire flow went to the defensive left
or
side.
Or they thought he was going to throw the ball to try to pick up the yardage to roll out to that spot. It's almost like
I barely saw the handoff. I mean, I was watching Balestrini the whole time.
It's an inside handoff. You know, and the other thing is Schaefer Knight stands there and waits until he gets almost to him, and that's when he has to make that move to the left.
Don't forget coming up in the post game, we'll have the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Got a couple of choices for the Chief tonight.
Why do I always have to pick it?
Because I'm the one that says it.
Because you're in charge.
Because
right?
I'm the one that says you picked it. See, I got to put you on the spot.
I got you. All right. We'll see what happens.
That way, if anybody has an argument, you can send it to chief@wkok.com.
I don't have that.
No.
I didn't think so.
I might set that up, though, just in case.
No, you don't do that. Then I'm not going to talk anymore on the radio. Oh, yeah, sure.
Koontz ready to boot the ball away from his own 40-yard line, kicking it to the right, and probably away from Wolfley, or at least they try to. And that one going to about the 15 to the 20 to the 25.
It's number 11, Duncan Weir, tripped him up.
Swan on the carry to the 29-yard line. About a 19-yard return there. So they'll bring the Mustangs offense out on the field.
With 8:36 to go here in the game.
Offense looking, Midwest offense looking for points for the first time tonight. The special teams got on the board with a Wolfley 55-yard touchdown run. And this time, looks like Wolfley may be the receiver on the far side of the field.
Guess where he's at.
Lover the shotgun, or the sidecar right of Register the shotgun. He'll take the direct snap, looking for Wolfley. Has Wolfley on the out. Makes a man miss, and a nice move at the 35 to the 40, using his speed to the 45. Still on his feet before they finally get him out of bounds, and a flag flies. Gets down to the 46-yard line. 20-yard catch and run.
The only thing that could possibly be would be,
face mask or a late hit.
No, they said that he crossed his arms. Yeah, that's what it is.
And it is a dead ball personal foul. So the whistle blew, then he was out of bounds, and then
somebody
got a hit.
Somebody hit.
Yep. So that'll mark it off into the Shikellamy territory at the 38-yard line for Midwest first and 10.
The Wolfley kid, I mean, just was a simple out. There were people there to tackle him. He made people miss him, and down the sidelines he goes.
And Coach Hatter's just trying to find ways to get it in his hands right now, and rightly so. Three receivers to the near side. That's a worm burner, and picking it up is Register. He's rolling out. He's going to fire it down the middle of the field. Wow, did he make something out of nothing there. Nice open field tackle by Balestrini, but not before the catch was made by Wilson for a gain of four.
That had disaster written all over
sure
from
did.
The snap, and you're right. He did a nice job of getting away from the Braves' rushing defense and making a pass, and he came back and caught it.
So Wilson will go out to the far side. They'll go with three receivers here in the pattern.
5:49 left in this ball game.
Shikellamy leading at 27-6, and a low snap again, and Register has to pick it up. He's running all over the place, coming to the near side, coming to the far side, fires one up, and that one is caught by Swan, and a beautiful catch. Oh, my, that's twice that Register's thrown it up, and his receivers have come down with it. That one at the 31-yard line, a gain of about four more, will bring up a third down and three, but wow.
Well, Eli did his best imitation of the shortstop scooping up the low grounder on that one, Kevin, even though it was kind of a can of corn pass, but he got there just in the nick of time to get his hands underneath it and catch it.
Register has had two turf burners, not worm burners because we're on turf, turf burners. That one, a direct snap, goes well. Pressure's coming, though, and Weir has got him for the sack.
Duncan Weir with the sack, and Isaac Schaefer Knight's right there with him, Kevin.
Third sack of the season for Weir. That one marches it all the way back to the 42-yard line, and a timeout by the Mustangs.
And that's 4:42 to go. That was a smothers.
Yes, it
sack.
Was.
I mean, there was no way he was going to get out of that one.
Nope.
Duncan was all over him. It's. I guess we've seen Drew Balestrini have to fight that off, and that time Register just wasn't going to be able to get away.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Shikellamy Braves Football.
It's sports talk where your voice counts. The Steve Jones Show, weekdays from 3 to 5 on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online at WKOK.com.
So they change the clock now with
they put 10 seconds on, 4:52.
4:52 remaining here in this one. And Midwest, I believe, taking their first timeout. I think Shikellamy is the one that took the timeout earlier on this fourth down and 12 from the 40 of Shikellamy.
Kevin, it was a couple Saturdays ago. I was running the clock for a boys game at soccer, and I got talking to somebody in the press box, and After a goal was scored, I stopped the clock and they started playing again. I think 3 minutes.
Well, now wait
three
a minute.
Minutes later, the official said, "Hey, the clock's not going."
But nobody, but it doesn't matter in soccer because you don't keep the clock anyway.
But I have to. Yeah, I do. But they
no, you don't. They keep it on the field. They always add more time in those games. No. That's what I don't understand about soccer. Nobody knows how much time's left.
Haven't been to a high school soccer game lately, Kevin.
It's true.
You're thinking about the World Cup.
Down the middle of the field, Register fires one, and that one in through the hands of Wilson in the middle of the field. He could hear the thundering footsteps, I think, that time.
Well, he was open, too, Kevin. I thought that pass was catchable, so the Braves take over on downs with 4:47 to go here.
Turnover on downs, indeed. Yeah, I never understood. Why do nobody, like when the clock goes to zero, they still add more time. I don't understand it.
But that's if there's been time out for too many
But then why not reset the clock on the clock?
I don't know, Kevin. You know.
See, these are the questions I want answered by somebody.
But I keep the clock. The officials keep the clock on the field. I keep the clock, all right, either on the side if we're out in the regular field or up in the press box if we're in the football
not
field.
That I'm, not that I don't want you to lose. I don't want you to lose your job or anything.
Speaking of football fields, you got a job to do now, buddy. Let's go.
I don't want you to lose your soccer job yet. Ballastrini under center with a wing to the far side. He'll hand the ball off. It is Wolf this time off the right side with a little bit of running room. Gain of about three to the 42-yard line. And Midwest calling a timeout.
I believe that's their second and 4:34 to go.
Indeed. By my count, they have one more remaining.
You know, one thing that I've noticed about the Braves running game is, and this is not a bad defense that Midwest has out there. They've got some good inside, some good linebackers, and I think they got a very strong front. They've been getting 3-4 yards on those plays, and Gage Wolf has done quite a nice job. but you know, it's a start, all right? It's a start.
And the thing is, we've seen a lot of improvement in this team this year. Ballastrini, Weir, McCormick, they're all seniors. Gittens a senior, Marshall a senior, Fitzgerald's a senior. But, you know, their front line is going to have more experience than anybody because they've got about eight guys that have played the front line, and I don't think any of them are seniors.
You're right. Well, there's, you know, you think about you're absolutely correct. The only lineman is probably Connor Fitzgerald when he moves in there at tight end.
Right. Second and eight, and he's a senior, of course. Second
yes.
down and seven. Here's the pitch coming to the near side. Schaefer
wow.
Knights, and there is no room at all. Man, did they come in there, and they were in there like on a rabbit that time.
I'm looking at the number. It was number nine again, Kevin. That would be Swineford, all right, with a nice tackle.
That'll be a loss of about four, bringing up third down and 12.
And that should be the last timeout for Midwest.
I believe indeed it is.
4:29 to go here.
And in about 24 hours from now, we'll see if Penn State can rebound from the loss last week, and one that has caused a lot of stir on the Steve Jones Show all this week. Steve will have Jack Hamm along with him and Roger Corey from Beaver Stadium. The home opener, which doesn't have the same magic a normal home opener would be for Penn State, Ohio State, but we'll have it for you on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can also listen online at WKOK.com and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. And the tailgate show will get underway at 6, kickoff at 7:30. And if you're going to be following election coverage, Mark Lawrence is going to be at the anchor desk along with CBS News beginning election night at 7 o'clock. Wall-to-wall coverage plus updates on WKOK.com. You can stream the coverage online at WKOK.com and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Again, election night coverage beginning at 7 with Mark Lawrence, Matt Cotrillo, Ali Stevens, a full newsroom trying to get you updated on what may be a deciding factor, a deciding presidential election on election night. I'm going to probably take the over on that for how many days it takes to figure it out.
I think you're right, Kevin.
Ballastrini with a five-step drop, rolling out now to the far side with some pressure from the backside. Now sends it down for Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer made a catch at the 25-yard line. Lots of contact between him and Swan, and that time Pfeiffer comes down with it.
What is it? You saw it.
Midwest fans showing their displeasure.
Well, there was a lot of
contact.
I have to agree with him. He did push off of Eli Swan back there.
about a 44-yard completion. And that'll bring up a first down at the 25, 26-yard line for the Shikellamy Braves, leading at 27-6.
Well, they can't stop the clock anymore, so I imagine the Braves are probably going to try to do a lot of running here.
Ballastrini now will take the time and run it down a little further. He's going to watch the official. He's watching his watch. Remember, no play clock here in Midwest. Now there's the warning for 5 seconds. Ballastrini will call the ball, and he will hand it off, and running to the near side on a counter play is Wolf.
Kevin, that was a one-receiver pattern.
Yes.
There was only one
That's a good point.
There was only one receiver out on that, and that was Pfeiffer.
Shikellamy with a 27-6 lead.
3:26 to go here, Kevin.
At the 24-yard line of Midwest.
And they get another first down, and it's over.
Midwest will play a game next week. They'll get a Week 9 game against Newport. And the Braves may have a game at Midwest, depending on what happens tomorrow night between Midwest.
At
Mifflinburg.
We're at Midwest right now.
Okay. Yeah. There's too many M's in the. We have too many M games right after the one after another this year. Balestrini will get ripped down by the shoulder pads and spun around, and it's Swinford again on the tackle.
Yeah, he has been. I would say one of the bright spots. For Midwest, he's done a heck of a job out there playing in his lineman position.
6 foot 250 senior,
and he moves fast.
And he has some moves. He's in beast mode.
Down to 2.5 minutes to go here in the game.
That will march it back about 7 yards for a third down and 17 at the 32-yard line. Yeah. On the far side of the field, it's going to be Pfeiffer. Wing to the near side. Balestrini under center. Backs are split. Long count, and that's going to be a free play. Well, in the NFL, it'll be a free play. Right now, it's offside.
Did somebody throw the flag?
You know what? I'm not sure they did.
Well, no,
I don't see any laundry.
Yeah, now they're all getting together to talk.
Well, I mean, it was definitely offside. I mean, the ball hadn't moved, and three Midwest players came across the line of scrimmage and made contact. Now, whether they were drawn off, I'm not sure.
The center forgot to snap the ball. That's
but
what
I didn't
happened,
see anybody so move either.
I know, but,
I mean, it's okay if the center doesn't snap the ball as long as nobody else moves on the offense.
They're going to wave off the penalty.
How? How do you wave off the penalty when it – You know what? I almost got myself in trouble at Jersey Shore. I'm not going to do it here.
I know.
The ball at the 32-yard line and a do-over on third down.
Minute 56 and counting. Now we've got
– Well, now hold on. Now we're going to discuss it a little bit more. And the ball's still at the 32-yard line. We're going to take a timeout here. And maybe after further review, we're going to review the reviewing of the review. And the down will count, so it is going to be fourth down now.
I thought it was fourth down.
Well, yeah, so you can't. That's why I said it was a do-over.
If there was no penalty.
So it should be fourth down now. They'll wind the clock, but or is it third down? I'm not sure right now. Balestrini under center. It's either third or fourth down.
Don't you have any Halloween bumper music?
Actually, I do, as a matter of fact.
Gee whiz.
How much time's left, Chief?
A minute 25.
All right, Balestrini under center. He will hand the ball off right side. Wolf with some running room gets back to almost the original line of scrimmage, which is about the 25-yard line. Now, if it's third down, the Braves will have the ball again. If it's fourth down, it'll be a turnover on downs. And it says fourth down now. It's a do-over. I'm telling you.
I have no explanation.
You thought I was crazy. No. It was a do-over.
I thought you only had do-overs in high school basketball.
We've had a few of those, haven't we?
Yeah.
Fourth down and 12.
Under a minute, 50 seconds, Kevin.
And this is going to be one more snap, maybe two. Well, it's fourth down, so the Braves are going to have to get a first down to be able to do something here to keep the clock running. So they're going to have to take it down probably to about 30 seconds.
Well.
And now I think Midwest may have jumped offside, but I thought that before. So I'm going to hold that thought because we might have another do-over. And now the officials are going to chat about this one. I'm all for the conversation to make sure they're right. And it's
offside.
An offside against Midwest. It's not going to be enough for a first down. But let's see, what's the clock time now, Chief?
36 seconds. 36.7 seconds.
So they will reset the play clock.
But the time won't start.
The time will not start.
Yeah.
Well, no, he is winding the clock. Does. Sorry.
Yeah.
So the ball did get set, and he winds the clock because it was a defensive penalty. And at the 21-yard line, it'll be fourth down. The Braves won't even have to run a play, I don't think. They may have to snap it with about five left.
I'm not going to venture a guess on that or speculate at all.
Well, they're
down to 12 seconds.
The Braves are up on the line, ready
to do it.
There's
5 seconds. Okay, they have to do it because
they're going to have to. They're going to have to snap the ball and kneel on it, and they're going to call it as long as they can, and they do. And that one is there's a late flag because the ball wasn't snapped, and it looked like one of the Midwest players came across the line and really went after it. And now the coaches are really going to have to separate things here. And credit the coaching staff on both sides because they did the right thing. Both coaching staffs came right out in front of their players and got them out of the way. Well, I'll tell you one thing, if nothing else, it sets up an interesting rivalry if this is not the last time these two teams play. The inaugural game between Midwest and Shikellamy has definitely been interesting. And now there's another flag.
Yeah.
Here's the real problem, though. Midwest has another game coming up, so they can't afford to have anybody ejected because then they will not be able to play next week.
And that's not a coach, I don't think. Or is it a coach?
I think it is a coach.
It is a coach.
And if it is, he will not be able to come in next week. And now there's another flag. You know, this one's going to end up down along the river.
Yeah, it's going to end up down in Harrisburg.
This one's going to be in Mechanicsburg.
Well, let's talk about the game,
over.
Kevin. And
we
don't want to be here too long tonight. You know what I mean?
I don't know, but we'll wrap up with the post game coming up. Shikellamy wins it by a score of 27-6 over Midwest on WKOK and WKOK.com.
The appliance pros at Peters care about your safety. Make sure you disconnect your clothes dryer vent twice a year and check for blockage. If your dryer can't vent properly, dangerously flammable lint can build up inside your vent and inside your dryer, causing poor drying performance and can be a fire hazard. See the appliance pros at Peters for more helpful appliance tips. Remember, when it's time to purchase your next appliance, see the experts at Peters. Building or remodeling, let Peters put together your perfect appliance package. Peters Home Appliance Center, Sunbury.
At Sunbury Motor Company, the letters SMC mean a lot to us. Those letters stand for a tradition of trust since 1915. SMC stand for
selling more cars
and
satisfying more customers.
SMC. It stands for Sunbury Motor Company. And when you need a Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia, you have our lowest price promise. Log on to sunburymotors.com to
see more choices
and
save more cash.
And then you can say, start my car. I'll take it.
SMC.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Hubs Home Oxygen and Medical Supplies is proud to support the Shikellamy Braves. Like the quarterback, they are the leaders in the field of home health, medical equipment, and respiratory services. Visit us online to learn more or stop by our newest location in Selins Grove at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. Go Braves!
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. During this time, we are operating under the guidance of the PA Insurance Department. Most of our staff continues to work from home to practice social distancing for the safety of our staff and clients. Our office remains open and available to service our current and new clients by phone, by calling 570-286-5855, email, and by appointment. Our after-hours emergency service is also ready to assist our clients with their needs. From the team at Purdy Insurance, stay safe, be well, be kind, and know that we remain dedicated to the highest levels of service to protect what matters most.
Sportsmen, join us at Martz's Gap View Hunting Preserve. Located 15 miles south of Sunbury, Martz's has 1,200 acres of upland game bird hunting habitat and has been an excellent place to enjoy an outdoor family experience since 1957. Martz's also offers continental shoots, sporting clays, wobble trap, and lodging. We thank our veterans for their sacrifices for the greatest country on the planet with special events. Visit us online at martzs.com.
Welcome back to Midwest. All right, it's a little Halloweenish. Spiders and snakes.
Yeah.
No, a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean, it's not Thriller, but you know.
How about I was working in the lab late one night. You always play that one.
Yeah, I probably do. Yeah, see, it's just not the same. Bad Moon Rising doesn't work. Yeah. Although it might be effective tonight with the full moon rising. And it was one of those games here for a while when Midwest took the opening kick, or took the first opportunity they had to touch the football in 55 yards out on a Hunter Wolfley punt return with 10:41 to go in the first quarter, making the score 6-0 with a missed extra point. The Braves were able to finally get something going offensively when Balestrini rushed it in from 6 yards out with 3 seconds to go in the quarter. Extra point hits the crossbar and flops right over. That was weird thing number one of the night, I think. It made it 7-6 in favor of Shikellamy. Braves added a 6-yard Schaefer Knights touchdown run with 3:34 to go. His first rushing touchdown of the season and first one of the night with 3:34 to go in the half made it 14-6, and that was our halftime score. Balestrini once again with another touchdown run on the season. He went right out to the corner of the end zone, hit the pylon with the ball with 2:11 remaining in the third quarter. The extra point was good, made it 21-6, Shikellamy. And then Schaefer Knights with his final touchdown run of the night, an 18-yarder with 6:40 to go here in the game. The extra point was wide left, and it made the score Shikellamy 27, Midwest 6 in this inaugural game between the Mustangs and the Braves. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about throughout the pregame was how well the Braves' defense have played the last couple of weeks, and tonight they really didn't have to be on the field that much because
they were well-rested.
The best defense was a good offense, and that's really the difference in the game, because every time that Hunter Wolfley touches the football, you've got to be concerned as a defense. Well, tonight he just didn't get enough touches.
The thing that I said that if they could keep the ball out of the offense, Midwest offensive hand, that would be one of the things that would happen, and they did. I think I can count on my two hands how many plays that the offense ran for Midwest, and that means that the defense was out on the field, for most of the game. So it was Coach Kaiser and his staff did a heck of a job tonight.
It was well game plan. Plan worked out well.
I was talking to the guys here in the press box, and Midwest has some quality football players out there on defense, but they got tired too, you know.
Yeah, they were out there a long time.
If you notice, Shikellamy started to run the ball, and they weren't getting long games, but they're getting 4 or 5 yards, and it just was the old Shikellamy style wear them down type of offense, and then throw in a couple of pass gems by Balestrini, and you got a victory.
Well, Balestrini lost about 100 yards passing on penalties there in that fourth quarter, and things started to get a little bit out of hand on both sides of the ball. We started to see a lot of frustration all the way around, and unfortunately, a couple of late penalties in this game. Actually, after the buzzer sounded, a double penalty that ends up coming up on one of the coaches for Midwest, as he was not a happy person there at the end of that game, and may cost him an opportunity to coach next week against
Newport.
But again, you know, it's just a shame it had to end that way. But you know, it was a good, solid win for Shikellamy, a well-executed game plan by the Braves coaching staff. But let's go now to our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. And for a minute there, for maybe even about 5-10 minutes, we thought it might be a Midwest play in that 55-yard punt return by Hunter Wolfley. And it was a good one. It was not one that he got to the outside and beat everybody to the edge and ran down the sidelines. He had to do some bobbing, weaving, ducking the tackles, and it was a well-executed 55-yard run. But unfortunately for Midwest, that was the only quote-unquote offense they could muster tonight.
We know what I'm going to pick, Kevin.
I don't know. That's why I asked.
I'm going to pick the scissors play for the touchdown by Schaefer Knights. It was such a perfect play, and it was such a perfect time to run it that I think it just completely smothered the Midwest chances of even thinking about coming back.
And keep in mind, it's only midway through the quarter there at that point, and you're only down 2 scores, and Midwest had some big defensive plays. So that becomes our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Shamokin Dam Health Center and Workplace Injury Institute offering medical care, chiropractic care, rehabilitation, and more. Call 570-743-4333 for an appointment. Let's quickly take a look at our Alexander Family Dealership scoreboard here tonight. Here are the finals. Southern Columbia will go to the finals of the 2A District 4 with a 49-7 win over Line Mountain. They will face South Williamsport, who came from behind trailing at 18-14 to Troy on the road. They score all the points in the second half, 35-18. South Williamsport beats Troy. They'll take on Southern Columbia again. It seems like they do that
every
a lot.
Year, yeah.
That will be in Southern Columbia next Friday night. As for what's happening down the road in Selins Grove on our Blaze Alexander Ford Tough Game of the Week, Shamokin shuts out Selins Grove 15-0. That one a final at Harold L. Bullock Memorial Field. Shamokin will go play the winner of the Mifflinburg-Jersey Shore game coming up tomorrow night at Thompson Street Stadium. Tomorrow afternoon, the 3A District 4 semifinals will have Athens taking on Danville at 1, Loyal Sock at Montoursville in the Battle for the Bridge Part 2 also at 1 o'clock. And now some other games in regular season finals. Lewisburg with a shutout win over Hughesville 21-0, and Milton a shutout winner over Warrior Run 20-0. Now, as far as Shikellamy is concerned, depending on what happens tomorrow will depend on what happens with Shikellamy in Week 9. Midwest, we said, will play next week against Newport. The Braves have a game tentatively scheduled with Mifflinburg at Mifflinburg if the Wildcats lose tomorrow night to Jersey Shore. If that doesn't happen, then a Week 9 game may not happen. So we'll kind of wait until tomorrow night and figure that out. But, Chief, you have some of the final numbers in the game. What you got for
us?
Well,
you know, instead of looking at all the individual numbers, if you just take a look at the fact that Shikellamy ran 64 offensive plays to 30, okay, for the Midwest Mustangs, and Wolfley's was the 56-yard punt return was the only scoring opportunity. So the Braves' defense threw a shutout tonight, Kevin. And the other thing is, take a guess how many plays offensive-wise they ran in the second half, Midwest.
Midwest? 10.
Three more than that, 13. That's amazing.
Well, the Braves, you said, was it 63 was the number you said?
64.
64 plays.
To 30.
The Braves average 51 plays a game.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't sound like a big number, but when you think about it in football terms, that's 13. That's a minimum of almost three more series.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a big, big number there. And Midwest actually averages 52 plays a game.
Yep. And guess how many of those 64 plays were running plays?
Well, Shikellamy typically is about a 70% running play team.
50 of them. 50 out of the 64. So, I mean, Donnie Leisel
66%
does,
running, Donnie, actually.
Donnie does such a great job here. They had 134 yards rushing to the Mustangs 57. All right,
wow.
And passing, Balestrini was 8 for 14 for 204 yards tonight, and the Mustangs were 10 for 13 for 77 yards. So in all around, okay, the Braves' offensive and defensive teams outshone the Midwest tonight. The Pfeiffer had two receptions for 62 yards, Marshall 2 for 35, Fitzgerald 1 for 41, Weir 1 for 51, Semcoe 2 for 15. If you go on the other side, Swan had 3 for 37 for Midwest, Wolfley 3 for 28, Wilson 3 for 13, and Lauver had 1 for a minus 1 yard. Rushing, Wolfley had 10 rushes for 93 yards tonight, Kevin.
Wow. You know what? He averages about 8 yards a carry anyway.
Yeah.
And so he was right on his yearly carries.
Well, the
average, right?
Semcoe had 13 rushes for 54 yards, Balestrini 11 for 36. And Schaefer Knight 7 for 37. I'm going to stop there, Kevin, because Donnie's got so many things on there. I think I hit most of them. All right.
Well,
so.
Listen, I want to point out two things. I think that really
I want to go home, Kevin. That's what, and they're going to turn the lights out here.
Wouldn't be the first time we had the lights turned out.
But we're the only people here.
Balestrini 8 of 14, 204 yards. That's a really good night.
Yeah.
But listen to this. We talked about Register being 30% passing. He was 10 of 13 tonight,
yeah,
but only 77 yards. So that tells you that he wasn't getting any good looks downfield.
Yeah.
He was everything that he was throwing was all short passes for the most part. So
you got it.
Well, we don't know if we'll be back with you tomorrow or next Friday night. But here, there's one more for you. It's a nightmare on my street.
I got you. And here's the other thing, Kev. All right. Three wins. Get a win next week if we play Mifflinburg. You're 4-5 for the season. and think about how things started out. So we got a bunch of kids that have survived, and they're playing good, and they're fitting into the coach's system, and that builds for next year.
It's now three in a row.
Yeah.
That the Braves have won. And an opportunity to win two in a row. An opportunity to win three in a row to end the season. And boy, that makes a lot of those off-season things for the juniors, sophomores, and freshmen a little bit easier to deal with. And another optimistic end of a season for the Braves and Coach Kizer and his staff. Once again, our final score, it was Shikellamy 27, Midwest 6. Braves maybe will be in action next Friday night at Mifflinburg if the Mifflinburg Wildcats fall to Jersey Shore tomorrow night. If not, well, we may see you in a year or so, depending on what happens with basketball.
Hey, maybe Silensgrove will play us.
Who knows? They got a free week.
Yeah.
It would be an entertaining game. Just throwing it out there, Tim Ford. For the Chief, Dave Ritchie, Don Leitzler, statistician, I'm Kevin Herr, stirring something up at Shikellamy. Braves win tonight and go to 3-5 on the season. The Mustangs fall to 1-7. Penn State football tomorrow getting underway at 6 with the tailgate show. Kickoff at 7:30 with Steve Jack and Roger Corey. Once again, for the three of us, thanks for joining us for Braves football on WKOK and on the app.